go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to what should be a Monday night edition of Head On, but ain't. Because yesterday was Monday, this is Tuesday, and I am condemned to be hopelessly confused for the remainder of the week. Insofar as I was out playing hooky yesterday. No, not really hooky, but we'll talk about where I was in a minute. Tomorrow I get on the road headed for Washington, D.C. and the Families USA Conference, whereat there will be a joyous reunion with my broadcast colleague, Guy James, and we will bring you 6 rock-solid hours of conversation from that Families USA Conference, focusing primarily on the need for significant health care reform in the United States. And I think you will find it scintillating conversation at the very least. Now, a little advisory. Since most of the world or most of the policymaking, policy commenting, newsmaking world doesn't work between the hours of 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, my show on Thursday and Friday will air at at noon Eastern Standard Time, live from the Families USA Conference at the Hyatt Regency in Washington, D.C. So if you tune in at 6, what you'll get is a rerun. But if you tune in at noon, you will get 3 hours of me, followed by 2 hours of Guy James. So that would make 5 hours of radio instead of the 6 I just mentioned. But we all know what happens when I try to do mathematics on the fly on this program. Good things never come from it. So 5 hours of live conversation radio from the Families USA Conference beginning Thursday at noon. Tomorrow is a road day. And we'll be doing equipment checks and stuff like that, trying to make sure that there are no flies in the ointment come time for the mic to go hot. So that's the plan. And I really, really hope that you will join us Thursday and Friday. Now, where was Bob last night? Well, Bob had a very busy day. It was unprecedented, the day I had yesterday. It was historic, the day in which I participated yesterday. And it is all as a result of the hard work of a man whose voice you have heard on this program in the past. You remember a couple of months back when the governor of the state of West Virginia and the entire congressional delegation sat down for a collective hand-wringing session about how will we ever possibly manifest our undying devotion and deep-seated allegiance to King Cole. And, of course, the so-called environmental community, or what I like to think of as a human rights movement, was not included in that little meeting. I mean, we couldn't even sit in the corner and gnaw on a crust of old bread while sitting on our hands and saying nothing. I mean, we just weren't included. We didn't exist. We weren't important enough to be there. Well, that didn't sit too well with Bo Webb. Bo began demanding and was helped in his demand by the recent comments of Senator Robert C. Byrd saying West Virginians had doggone well better start having a dialogue about West Virginia's future before the coal runs out instead of after we've been left sticky, broken, confused by the coal companies as they flee the state with all our money and leave us, well, sticky, broken, confused. And Bo started asking for this meeting. And lo and behold, it happened. It came off. And Bo was kind enough to invite me to be a part of it. He was there. Judy Bonds, whom you have also heard on this program, was there. Leave no gulp of ginger peach tea undrunk. Thank you, dear. Agnes bringing me another hot cup. Anyway, Judy Bonds was there. I was there. Bo was there. Janet Keating from the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition was there. Rory McElmoyle was there. Maria Ganeau was there. And most importantly, I would submit, Doctors Michael Hendricks of the West Virginia University School of Public Health was there, and Dr. Ben Stout, a biologist focusing on water safety and water quality, was there. Now, who was on the other side? Governor Joe Manchin was there. My congressman, Representative Nick Joe Rahal, was there. Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito was there. Delegations and representatives of Senators Byrd and Rockefeller were there, as was a representative of a member of the staff of Representative Alan Mollahan. Thus, the entire congressional delegation plus the governor were there. Also in attendance, when the first meeting was held, the so-called environmental community was not important enough to be there. But, bless his heart, Bo wanted the coal industry there. And so, from the West Virginia Coal Association, both Bill Rainey and Chris Hamilton were there. And Joe Carter from the United Mine Workers of America was there. There were various and sundry county commissioners and members of the West Virginia legislature. Notably, and this was noted, right after the event got started, State Senate President Earl Ray Tomlin got up and huffed out of the room, as did his accomplice, Senate Majority Leader Truman Chafin. And their relationship is such that if Senate President Earl Ray Tomlin ever stops short, you'll be able to see Truman Chafin grinning from the back of his throat. Really, it's sad. But what happened yesterday was profound past profound. Affected coalfield community residents, for the first time ever, got to look their elected representatives in the eye and tell them exactly what it was that their policies did to our communities, our families, our environments, and ourselves. And as I noted, most importantly, Drs. Hendricks and Stout were there, and in unblinking terms, they made it abundantly clear that it is simply impossible to do mountaintop removal and expect to have any sort of viable community in its wake. It was profound. Now, did anybody come out and say, well, you know, we're going to start phasing out mountaintop removal? No, no. And anyone who thought that that might have been the outcome probably was too self-deluded to be in the meeting in the first place. But it was a beginning of dialogue. And look, you know, how many times have I said that the reason for the existence of the horn, for instance, is to promote and facilitate the reestablishment and the renewal of the American dialogue and discussion and conversation? We carry on, and we get foolish, and we laugh, but we talk about real things that really matter, and we work on ideas here for going forward. The whole reason for the horn's existence is dialogue. And so I was pleased with the fact that the dialogue began yesterday in Charleston. Now, I'll tell you, truthfully speaking, I don't think of it so much as a dialogue as I do an intervention. Like I said, nobody came out of that meeting from the elected representative side saying, well, I guess we better get rid of this mountaintop removal. No! No, we got a whole lot of we got to strike a balance and a whole lot of we got to agree to disagree. But I'll tell you this. The first time that Mohandas K. Gandhi, later known as Mahatma, sat down and informed the British colonial authorities that they would be leaving, they laughed at him too and made no effort to budge from their seats. It is very seldom that you sit down with an addict and explain to them that they are killing themselves with their addiction, and to have the addict say, oh, wow, you know, I never thought about it that way. You're probably right. Here, let me just quit cold turkey right now. It doesn't happen that way. They rationalize and they justify and they talk about being able to balance their real lives and their addiction and about how their addiction doesn't really have anything to do with their ability to do their job and how their addiction isn't really so bad and, you know, in some ways it's probably good. Anybody who's ever participated in an intervention knows that kind of language. Are you listening, Dr. Rick? Porn psychotherapist Rick Goodner could probably tell you that I'm not fibbing here. But the important part is having the intervention and letting the addict know that everybody else knows about the addiction, too. That putting the gin in the coffee thermos or the vodka. You know, you can't smell the vodka. Yes, you can, addict. Yes, you can. Putting the vodka in the thermos and taking it to work isn't fooling anyone. And if anything, West Virginia is dealing, and Appalachia is dealing, and yes, this country is dealing with an addiction. And yesterday, a few brave souls of whom I was very, very humbly and honored to be a part held an intervention with the congressional delegation and the governor of the state of West Virginia. And I didn't get home till a little bit after 8 p.m. Eastern time, so I hope, I sincerely hope, that you will forgive me my absence, and I will do everything in my power this evening to make up for lost time and cram Wednesday into Tuesday and Monday into Tuesday, because you know what? It ain't like we're hurting for Morans. We can have Moran Monday on a Tuesday or prayer meeting on a Tuesday. Whatever. We are just that flexible. So that's what we're going to attempt this evening. It's also Tuesday evening, and so therefore it is a Green News Report Tuesday. Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen will be along presently with this evening's Green News Report. We've got that going for us, which is good. Oh, what else? It's almost difficult to capitalize, delineate, because there's just so dang much of them. Acorn dude, the acorn dude has fallen from his tree. News breaking a little bit ago that he was stone cold arrested trying to bug the office of Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu. More on that. Racism. Ugly, noxious, toxic racism in the news. And the rest of the story, Paul Harvey. News breaking over the weekend and into today, over the weekend, about Paul Harvey's relationship with J. Edgar Hoover. Oh, Paul, don't you think I'm studying in this lovely polka dot frock? No, not that kind of relationship. but weird nonetheless. And if I can still find the article, a moment, and you know we have these moments because it's just one of those things that tickles us all to pieces. One of those bad journalism moments.
Hello, I'm Leonard Pintgarnell, and this is bad journalism.
One of those moments. Just by way of going backwards for a moment, our friend Bo Webb appeared on the statewide talk line in West Virginia earlier today. And it was stunning. Oh, sweet Jesus, it was. It was absolutely stunning. The show, for those of you who aren't West Virginians, is hosted by this right-wing tool named Hoppy Kercheval. And Hoppy is, I think if you, well, you know, Shylock said, if you prick us, do we not bleed? If you pricked Hoppy Kercheval, coal sludge would come oozing out of his skin because he is among the biggest the coal cheerleaders in this state. And he's very well paid to be one. See, that's the trick with a right-winger. You do this stuff because you're well paid to do it. And Hoppy is most assuredly a bought and paid for Hoppy. So Bo Webb appeared on his program. He misidentified Bo twice as an attorney opposing mountaintop removal. Bo's no lawyer. That's not an insult. That's a compliment. Bo's a guy who lives at the foot of a mountaintop removal operation whose entire family, whose entire life, whose entire everything is put at hazard every time that the operations take place up there. He's been blasted. He's had silica dust and aerosolized ammonium nitrate and diesel fuel and God only knows what other things wafted down upon him in great clouds. And he doesn't like it, and he feels like he's got a right not to have it done to him. He's not a lawyer. So I had to drop a note off to the Hopster, say, I realize you're not a real journalist or anything, but you did screw up the ID on Bo Webb twice. But here's the fun part. Bo does his segment, and Hoppy gets him off the air. We'll be back on The Voice of West Virginia Talk Line right after this. What runs? An ad bought and paid for by Massey Energy. Coal is West Virginia. You know, it's one thing to suspect that someone is a prostitute. It's another thing for them to start ripping their clothes off in front of you and prove it. And that's what happened on Talkline today. Sheesh. I mean, no attempt at subtlety whatsoever. We just heard from an opponent of mountaintop removal. Now let's run an ad that we were paid gazillions of dollars to run to try to make sure that you forget he was here. Hey, that's great. We're Talkline. Yeah. So, you know, that's a little bit of what we're looking toward this evening. Professional broadcaster here. Backing up just a hair, let's do the acorn thing first. First of all, a little bit of time travel. Appearing on CNN this past Sunday on Howie Kurtz's Reliable Sources program, some news was discussed about what is still being called the Acorn Story. And oddly enough, it has nothing to do with Acorn, but about the sleazy bastard who manufactured the Acorn Story out of whole cloth. In other words, the title of the thing says, Acorn Story, on the font, says, Acorn Story grows tall, but is it journalism? Well, just check this out.
The Acorn scandal began 10 days ago with hidden camera video shot not by journalists, but by two conservative activists. And this was nothing short of outrageous, as staffers for the community organizing group gave an inquiring couple advice and encouragement on how to hide the fact that they were supposedly bringing in underage girls to set up a brothel.
My girlfriend's a prostitute.
Your business is a performing arts. But you are. Okay, so you're not lying.
That's kind of boosting my ego.
But you're a performing artist.
Yeah. All right.
Okay? So stop saying plastic.
Got it.
Okay?
Acorn, which was hired by the Obama campaign last year, has long been a target for the right, and Fox News beat the drums on this story day after day.
There is new undercover video showing another Acorn worker offering to help a pimp and his prostitute.
Acorn, the people who are sitting there and saying, yeah, don't worry about those 13-year-olds that are being used as hookers. It's corrupt.
This is a Fox News alert. The massive scandal involving Acorn continues to spread tonight.
There is I just love a good setup. Acorn.
But much of the mainstream media was well behind on this story. CNN also jumped on the budding scandal 10 days ago, though not with anything approaching Fox's intensity. But it took 5 days to hit the CBS Evening News and 6 days to be reported by ABC's World News, NBC Nightly News, and MSNBC. Chris Lizza, two conservative activists, James O'Keefe and Hannah Giles, posing as a pimp and a hoe, get this footage with a hidden camera.
I just love watching a boring white guy say hoe. And calling themselves responsible journalism in the process. So with all the 10 days ago stuff, this is obviously audio of the development of the story, if you will. And how it just absolutely caught fire. Acorn, 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 Acorn. Well, okay. We later found out, although God knows CNN and certainly not Fox, they're very damned few others in the for-profit media told you, the whole Acorn thing was a dodge. The whole film was a setup. It was it wasn't investigative journalism. It wasn't journalism. It was political hackery. It was the equivalent of that old, possibly apocryphal story about LBJ looking at his campaign manager and saying, I want you to put out there that LBJ asked asking of his opponent, LBJ wants to know, has he give up having sex with farm animals? And the campaign manager says, LBJ, I can't do that. There's no proof that he has. I know, I just want to hear him deny it. This is that. There were no 13-year-olds. There was no prostitute. There was no pimp. The only thing that was being pimped was sad, sorry, tawdry right-wing politics. What's the phrase? Oh, yes, the politics of personal destruction. That's what was being hustled. But there was some success on the part of James O'Keefe, who produced the Acorn charade. And it got James O'Keefe in a little bit of hot water. Because one member of Acorn filed a civil lawsuit late this past Thursday in the United States District Court. Not sure, I guess that would be the Eastern District of Pennsylvania. And the allegations of the suit are that James O'Keefe and his partner violated Pennsylvania state law when they recorded an interview with her without her consent and then disseminated it. One of the allegations within that civil complaint against O'Keefe is that the plaintiff told O'Keefe and his partner Giles that she could only help them with mortgage opportunities but not with other matters. Well, afterward, O'Keefe and Giles put that audio and video recording out with intent to harm Ms. Conway Russell. And that was the beginning of what may turn out to be a very, very bad week for James O'Keefe. I mean, truth be told, if you look at this picture of this clown from the Acorn video doing his pasty white dude impression of a pimp, I mean, come on, please. Black fedora, burgundy headband, big stupid sunglasses. I don't know what that jacket is over his suit coat, and a walking stick. There's nobody in any Acorn office in America that believed he was a real pimp. They were going along with the gag. For all they knew, it was somebody from the Colbert Report come funnin'. But now James O'Keefe's latest costume has him in a bit of a bind. And it goes past the issue of maybe a civil suit about having recorded someone without their consent and then disseminated the recording. Down in New Orleans, happy New Orleans. New Orleans celebrating the Saints' first trip to the Super Bowl. Oh, good on you, Saints. Who dat? But in the wake of the celebration, the FBI found the time, I mean, you know, it's New Orleans. The FBI found time to sober up long enough after the Saints' victory to run on down to the Hale Boggs Federal Building in downtown New Orleans, where they found, in broad daylight, Mr. James O'Keefe in a different costume. This time, like something out of a bad Chevy Chase Dan Aykroyd movie, or something out of Get Smart. James O'Keefe and several other right-wing clowns running around in phony telephone company uniforms. James O'Keefe was arrested, as were Joseph Basil, or Basil, one never knows, Stan Day, or Die, D-A-I, your guess is as good as mine, and Robert, I can get this name right, Flanagan, or maybe Flanagan. I'm not sure. Arrested were James O'Keefe, Joseph Basil, Stan Dye, and Robert Flanagan. O'Keefe is 25, and his posse, those three, are all 24. They were charged with entering federal property under false pretenses with the intent of committing a felony because they were trying to bug Mary Landrieu, Senator Mary Landrieu's office in broad daylight, under the noses of her staff. No, really. I've told you all along, these wing nuts aren't ne ute aitbre if you one what I mean me, you know? According to the FBI affidavit, Flanagan and Basil, entered the federal building at 500 Poydras Street, I don't know, maybe you don't pronounce the S, maybe it's got a silent Q in there somewhere. Damn, journalism's hard. About 11 a.m. Monday, that would be yesterday. Okay, so just we got the timeline. They were dressed as telephone company employees, wearing jeans and fluorescent green vests, tool belts, and hard hats. Well, hell, you know, if I was their lawyer defending him, I'd say that they were just as gay as the day is long, and they had the wrong building, and they thought that they were going to a Village People reunion concert. There we go. That could work. No, when they arrived at Senator Mary Landrieu's 10th floor office, O'Keefe was already in the office and told a staffer he was waiting for someone to arrive. And then Flanagan and Basil, see, I've done it to myself, Flanagan and Basil entered the office. They said, are we from the phone company? We're here to fix the phones. And witness number one in the affidavit then observes O'Keefe positioning his cell phone in his hand to videotape the operation. So then, this is one of those Onion stories. I don't mean it came from the Onion. No, this is real. This is not parody. But it's got layers upon layers upon layers upon layers. So then, with all of this dodgy behavior going on, the staffer then says, okay, let me take you to the phone room. And they gave Mr. Basil access to the main phone at the reception desk. And Basil then manipulated the handset. And then he tried to call the main office phone using his cell phone, said the main line wasn't working. Then Flanagan did the same. And then they said, we need to do repair work on the main phone system. Where's the phone closet? Remember, I told you, where's the phone closet? And that's when the staffer took him to the General Services Administration office on the 10th floor. And so having been taken to the GSA, somebody at the GSA finally wakes up and says, well, can I see your credentials? And we left them in the truck. They're down in the trucks with that. You know, we got a truck, a big white truck, and it's got lots of ladders and thingamajigs and boxes on it. So it's a real telephone company truck, and we left our credentials in our real telephone company credentials. We left them in our real telephone company truck. Of course, they arrived there in a... They arrived there in a rusted Chevy Malibu. And once they played the it's in our truck card, that's when the federal marshals were sent for and arrested these clowns. Oh! Oh, God. You know, if you were making the movie, you almost have to dig up Strother Martin to play one of these roles. And put some young guy makeup on him or something. One of these guys has got to look like Tim Conway. And there's got to be a Don Knotts role for what? Where have all the great comic actors gone, I ask you, when you need to make a film of right-wing hooligans gone terribly, terribly wrong? Hey, you numbskull, you left him in the truck. Oh! Blink. This afternoon, all four men appeared in federal magistrate court before U.S. Magistrate Judge Louis Moore. They were wearing the red... They were no longer wearing phony telephone company vests. They were now wearing the very real red inmate jumpsuits from St. Bernard Parish Prison. And they will be released on $10,000 bond. It remains to be seen who will go that bond. Mr. Flanagan's attorney, Jay Garrison Jordan, said he thinks his client works for the Pelican Institute. And as for his role in the caper. He said, I think it was poor judgment. I don't think there was any intent or motive to commit a crime. No, none whatsoever. Oh, by the way, did I tell you Mr. Flanagan, he's got a little problem. Daddy is not going to be at all happy with him. For you see, young Robert Flanagan is the son of the Right Honorable William Flanagan, who is the acting U.S. Attorney for the Western District of Louisiana. Yep. And that ain't going to do no good at all getting him from acting to U.S. Attorney. No, it's going to be tough on young Robert Flanagan. Now, the backstory on this is, like I said, who's gonna bail him out? And we may never know. It may just be a matter of going to Chico's bail bonds and towing and paying up, 10%, paying $1,000 cash or $10,000 cash, depending on what the magistrate said, and letting them get out of those red jumpsuits and back into their jeans and green vests. Who hired him? Whose idea was this? Because, see, that's the thing. After the Acorn, and remember, Mr. O'Keefe is all of 25 years old and remembering having been once a 25-year-old, I can tell you that your judgment can be impaired from time to time, even stone-cold sober. But having had the fame handed to them, to him, O'Keefe, that Fox handed him, I mean, he was their darling. He was
hard-hitting investigative journalist James O'Keefe.
His career was made. There he was, acting like a pasty white pimp, with a very poor sense of pimp style, I might add, with his pimping hat on. I mean, and that pimping hat, you know, that looked like Matt Drudge's winter hat, you know, because in the cold weather you go for felt. You only go for the straw in the spring and summer. Otherwise, it's not done. Had his drudging hat on, and Fox was making him famous. And at 25, he already had to one-up himself. And let me just add this to the mix. Why would the right wing even begin to care about Senator Mary Landrieu? Honestly. And this says a heck of a lot more about the right wing than it does about, frankly, Mary Landrieu. I mean, if you wanted to bug an office and hear some real left-wing liberal stuff that you could then say, see, they're socialists, they're Marxist commies. I'm suggesting that the place to start is not Mary Landrieu's office. Because trying to paint Mary Landrieu as some sort of liberal gone wild, it ain't going to work. She's about 99.9% Republican as it is. I mean, this is a woman who has been working covertly, for the longest time, covertly, to subvert the Clean Air Act of the United States. You know, that clean air that we all like to breathe, even though it isn't, but we'd like it to be cleaner, and we're optimistic enough to hope that maybe it someday will be, kind of. Yeah, but in wingnut, teabagger, birther, deather, tenther, booger eater world, she's a liberal. Yeah, I know. It don't compute for me neither. But then again, the dinosaurs' brains were said to be the size of walnuts, and they were outgunning the bagger, birther, deather, tenther, booger eater crowd by about, oh, I don't know what, a walnut to a hazelnut? Not a lot of that. Just not a lot of brain power in the teabagging crowd. Why Mary Landrieu? Well, I'll tell you why. because they were afraid of what she was going to do. They was going to catch her making dirty deals about Obamacare and the socialized health care. You know, when you're 24, 25 years old, you're sitting around the dorm room or maybe your first apartment out of college, something like that. Depends on whether or not you're on the six-year plan in college. Sitting around the apartment there with your buds and bongs out on the table and you're all blah, 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 blah. Hey,
wait, I got an idea. Let's pose as telephone workers like in that movie. And then we'll bug Mary Landrieu's office because she's a liberal. Here.
You think I'm crazy? I don't think that's crazy. Sometimes that's the way 24, 25-year-old minds work. This in from our pal Ron in Raleigh. Do you think these asshats will be perp-walked across the Fox News screen day in and day out? Just asking. Well, Ron, I'm just answering, and the answer is no. No, 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 no. The story is already out there on Fox. And they're devastated. And they've reported on it. It kinda, sorta. If you consider anything that happens on the Fox News Channel, you know, reporting.
All right, some weirdness in New Orleans, too. Tim,
weirdness.
What is this?
Not felonies,
this
weirdness.
This is a weird one, Chef, and I apologize for reading over my shoulder because we're just getting information as I want to make sure I know what we have confirmed and what we don't. But
that's a weird press release.
Yeah, we have the press release. I'm going to read from a local report.
Yeah, it's a weird press release. When was the last time weird press release, those two words, were heard together on Fox News? I mean, consider the stuff that they put out there as news. They've received press releases from bagger, birther, deather, tenther outfits saying, press release, Barack Obama, Antichrist, born in Kenya. They didn't say, that's a weird press release about that. They ran with it. They've gotten press releases saying that, I don't know, Sarah Palin is just like Queen Esther in the Bible. They didn't say that was a weird press release. They ran with it. Good tea. Good tea. Ooh, I got honey for a sweetener this time. Yeah, they ran with that. I would submit to you that's a weird press release has never been heard on Fox News before until it was a story of some burger, birther, bagger, deather, tenther, wingnut getting busted for a felony for attempted wiretapping. No, that's a weird press release. Well, do please continue, young Fox staffer.
It's the Acorn Gotcha Man. The FBI is alleging that a plot to wiretap Democratic Senator Mary Landrieu's office in downtown New Orleans has arrested four people.
Oh, this is precious. Now, I realize I'm talking about video on radio, and therefore it's dancing about architecture. But that phrase... And let's go back for a minute. Let's hear that phrase, because this is just too good.
Senator Mary Landrieu's office in downtown New Orleans has arrested four people.
Has arrested four people, so they immediately cut, they immediately wipe to a photograph of Mary Landrieu. Has arrested four people, and they put up on the screen, Mary Landrieu. Well, you know what? They work hard at Fox News. You can't just be this inept all by yourself.
That's a plot to wiretap her?
Yeah, that's apparently what happened. It apparently happened yesterday, but now it's being released. One of the suspects includes this James O'Keefe. You've probably heard of him. A lot of people in the news have heard of him. Our viewers have heard of him. James O'Keefe is a conservative filmmaker. His undercover videos at Acorn Field offices. Severely.
Yeah, he's an undercover filmmaker. Oh, God, anybody remember the Saturday Night Live skit about... it was Monty Python, wasn't it? Ex-police!
undercover filmmaker.
Damage the advocacy group's credibility. Now, the FBI alleges that O'Keefe aided and abetted two others. These two other guys dressed up as employees of the telephone company. They attempted to interfere with the office's telephone system. There's a fourth person who's accused of aiding and abetting these two others. All four are charged with entering federal property under false pretenses with the intent of committing a felony. A witness from Landro's office says O'Keefe is present in the office and claimed to be waiting for someone to arrive. Very weird story that probably needs a lot of context and a lot of looking into, which is what we're...
Yeah, that's what it needs. A lot of context and a lot of looking into. They couldn't possibly just be a bunch of screw-up right-winger, birther, bagger, tenther, deather, booger-eaters, could they? No, it's a very complex story. Let's see, how complex is it? I am not a journalist, and I don't play one on the radio, but I just made it very clear. They dressed up in telephone company phony garb, went to a senator's office, pretended to be telephone repairmen, and then got busted. That is a complicated story that is going to need a lot of context. Yes, let's have context, Fox News. Let's have context, say, from U.S. Attorney, interim U.S. Attorney, William Flanagan. We'd like some context from William Flanagan. William Flanagan would be a great guy to get some context from. And then him being a lawyer and everything, I bet he's just brimming over with context right now. Really? That's what they call it when they use those words. Context. Ah, okay. You little... Yeah, it's a complicated case that needs a lot of context.
We're going to do here, but I just want to get on the record with it right now.
So there's...
I don't know what we're going to do here, but I just want to get on the record with it right now. I don't know what we're going to do here. I know what you're going to do here. The rest of us know what you're going to do here. You're going to bury the story. It's never going to be heard again.
Saying basically they're in there, it sounds as if what they're saying is they're looking for some acorn hanky panky and they try to tap into Mary Landrieu's telephone to get it.
No, Shepard, I realize that you went to the University of Mississippi at Oxpatch, Mississippi, and that therefore, oh no, there's nothing in there about acorn, Shep. You imagined that part. But then again, you work for Fox. You imagine a lot of things. You probably check your bed to make sure that Marxist socialist Barack Obama isn't under it every night. But
that could be one way of looking at it, yes.
No, that could not be one way of looking at it, that they were looking for acorn stuff. Really? Acorn stuff? From whiter than ivory snow Mary Landrieu in Louisiana? Acorn stuff? Makes my brain hurt.
All right. I don't know. I guess we'll find out soon enough.
We will.
Yeah, y'all might find out, but I tell you who ain't gonna. Your audience. So, no, Ron, no. There will not be perp walk footage of these guys running day in and day out. Because, after all, it's a complicated story. You're going to require... You don't require a lot of, that context, and that's what it's going to take. It's some context, and they're going to need some context. Context is going to be important. Wowzer! I got a feeling it's going to be a heck of a night. But you know what? That's only the beginning. I got an hour's worth of hair curling coming up for you. That's a total different story. It's a, as we say around here, whole nother. So, don't think it's safe yet. Do not unstrap from your listening chair, because otherwise you'll be running around the room naked, tearing at your hair. No. Yes. And, other things. Barack Obama said today something that I really wish he wouldn't have said. I'd rather be a great one-term president than a mediocre two-term president. Man, what a President Obama. You got three years to work on great. Because right now, if your term ended tomorrow, you'd be a mediocre one-term president. I know that may not play so well with a lot of folks, but dang, it's true. Just saying. Oh, we got tons of stuff coming up. I don't know if we can do it all in two more hours, but we will darn sure try. We got the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen on the way. You are listening, of course, to America's Liberal Voice. You are listening to the only liberal radio network left in this country. You're listening to the Horn.
Preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, January 26, 2010.
Your weather says cold, but your climate says hot. Oil, oil, toil, and trouble. Do plastic bag taxes actually work? Plus, the big Murkowski. Can Murkowski block the EPA?
All of that and more, straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Prepare for 6 minutes of green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
This is going on right now. The planet has a fever.
Hey, Al Gore, has the planet thought about chicken soup? This is your Green News Report. Today's Green News Report is brought to you by VelvetRevolution.us. It is now officially another big election year, and VR is continuing the years-long fight against failed and faulty electronic voting systems. Fight the fight along with VR by signing on to the Diebold Return Our Money campaign. It's free, and your voice does make a difference. Please sign on. Show your support at DieboldReturnOurMoney.com. To continue the fight for free, fair, accurate, and transparent elections in 2010. Wouldn't that be nice? DieboldReturnOurMoney.com. Okay, Dez, a big week. As usual, what do we have today?
Well, it may be an unusually cold winter in the U.S., but if climate change deniers didn't hear it the first time when the U.K.'s Met Office said it, or the second time when the World Meteorological Organization said it, NASA confirms the last decade was the hottest on record. The 10 years from 2000 to 2009 were the hottest in the instrumental temperature record, hotter than the 90s, which were hotter than the 80s, which were hotter than the 70s, and so on.
And we have to apparently keep saying this because we keep, you know, hearing these wingnuts on right-wing radio, right-wing television saying, oh, it was cold out today. There's no global warming. Climate is not weather. It's not the weather outside your door. It's a global number. And yes, it was, once again, the hottest decade on record. Don't know how many times you can say it. Then again, if you're willing to lie about this stuff, as these guys apparently are, it doesn't matter how many times we say it, I'm afraid.
But we now also know that NASA thinks that 2009 may turn out to be the second hottest year on record, so we'll see if they keep pushing that global cooling myth. Want to get even higher internet speeds? Well, warming in the Arctic just might make it so. So much of the summer ice in the Arctic is melting each year that an international telecommunications company has announced they are moving forward with a project that was once unthinkable, laying an underwater cable from Tokyo to London in the Arctic via the once-fabled Northwest Passage. Summer sea ice reached the lowest level ever in recorded history in 2007.
Isn't that just like you trying to find the upside in this mess?
ExxonMobil is involved in yet another oil spill in U.S. waters. A tanker chartered by Exxon collided with a barge on Sunday in Port Arthur, Texas, about 90 miles east of Houston, near the Louisiana border, a major oil refinery area. No injuries were reported in the collision, and the cause of the accident is under investigation. An estimated 11,000 barrels of crude oil spilled into the channel. The port was closed, and parts of the town were temporarily evacuated due to explosive fumes. Cleanup crews are working to contain the spill, but officials say some of the crude will likely reach critical wildlife habitat downriver. The spill could have been worse, however. The tanker is a new kind of double-hulled design that traps some of the oil between the hulls. The double-hull design was introduced after the Exxon Valdez tanker oil spill in 1989 that dumped 11 million gallons of crude oil in Alaska's Prince William Sound. Double-hulled tankers are required in Europe, but not in the U.S.
And yeah, I was going to say, haven't the energy companies been fighting against that because, oh, it's going to cost extra money?
Yes.
Yeah, and it's always about money, of course.
More oil trouble on the other side of the country. In Alaska, the Anchorage Daily News reports this week that federal investigators executed search warrants at a Chevron oil facility after evidence emerged that the oil giant had knowingly violated air pollution regulations and then lied about it. Chevron had previously told regulators that pollution controls were working, but later revealed those units had been shut down and removed from service years before, releasing up to 1,000 times more toxic pollutants than they had previously told regulators.
They just blatantly lied about it?
Yeah, basically, Chevron alerted authorities to the problem when they requested a federal waiver that cancels fines for companies when they self-report their violations.
So because they self-reported, it doesn't matter that there was a violation?
They want a waiver.
Are they going to get the waiver?
I don't know. We'll find out.
Wow.
A few weeks ago, we reported on the new plastic shopping bag fee imposed in the District of Columbia. Now, how is it working? Well, aside from a lot of grumbling, the 5-cent tax on plastic shopping bags seems to be working very well. The Washington Post did a follow-up and found that people are going a long way to avoid paying that extra nickel per bag, and retailers say the number of bags they've handed out has dropped in half. The 5-cent tax goes to a fund to pay for the expensive cleanup of discarded plastic bags, which the city says are clogging waterways and sewer systems. Only about 2% of the estimated 500 million plastic bags produced every year ever get recycled.
And, of course, that'll never work here, thanks to Big Bag in the U.S., no doubt.
Finally, if climate change legislation fails in the Senate due to the new balance of power, the Environmental Protection Agency is Plan B. It can regulate emissions through the Clean Air Act. However, that is under fire, too. Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski of Alaska, with an assist from two Democrats, is attempting to block the EPA from enforcing provisions of the Clean Air Act as required by a 2007 Supreme Court ruling.
And which two Democrats are helping her out? Let's name them.
Blanche Lincoln of Arkansas and Mary Landrieu of Louisiana.
Landrieu and Lincoln. See you, ladies. Read about that and much more at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. Follow us at twitter.com/greennewsreport and download us on iTunes anytime. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Ain't no drag. Papa's got a brand new bag.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95.
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
It is indeed 2 minutes past the hour. The second hour of the program is underway. And let's see, the toaster for tonight, at least the first toaster of the night, goes out to Reverbo. Because Reverbo correctly predicted, although I don't think he meant to, correctly predicted story number 2 of the evening. Reverbo writing with the subject line, South Carolina comes through again! Hey, Bob, you heard about the Lieutenant Governor's recent remarks about poor people? They would have replaced Mark Sanford with this idiot. Yeah, I know, suddenly Mark Sanford looks like a real keeper. I mean, at least, you know, he went hiking the Appalachian Trail, but he didn't want to starve anything in the process. Reverbo says, I know Michelle Bachmann's trying hard up in Minnesota, and we've seen the attempted resurgence of that wacky Rick Santorum from Pennsylvania, but they don't stand a chance against an entire state of crazy. South Carolina is a bozo explosion of perpetual proportions. And, you know, with no offense to our good liberal friends in South Carolina, chief among them being our good buddy David in South Carolina, but he knows! South Carolina has been the Fort Knox of political lunacy in this country since before there was a country. You know, there was this whole debate that took place while they were drafting the Declaration of Independence about how we deal with slavery. And it was the South Carolina delegation said, we ain't signing if you're going to have no slavery stuff in there. Them's our people. And I do mean ours. We ain't talking no slavery. They were a pain in Andrew Jackson's ass. And Andrew Jackson was willing to commit genocide against an entire people. The first people, or remnants of them, that remained on this continent after white folks murdered them and diseased them and enslaved them and robbed them, and he was willing to kill the rest. And South Carolina got under that man's skin. I shall get on my horse and ride to South Carolina and when I arrive in South Carolina, I shall hang the first secessionist that I find. After hanging him, I shall get back on my horse and ride until I find another secessionist and hang him. And I shall hang every secessionist in South Carolina until there are no secessionists left in South Carolina. And that's a rough approximation of what Andrew Jackson said. And then there was that little dust-up in 1860 at Fort Sumter. 20th century, Strom Thurmond, you know, doing the upstairs maid. Strom Thurmond running for president. Sheesh. On and on and on. And, you know, all, you know, they're just South Carolina just living up to the legacy, I guess you'd say. But with that in mind, and before we get to the actual serious part, or the new part of the old South Carolina racism, I just want to remind you that the Lieutenant Governor's remarks were not offered in a vacuum. This is the culture of an entire state of the Union. An entire sovereign political subdivision of the United States of America. South Carolina. Now, how will I prove this? How about with South Carolina's own Senator Lindsey Graham? That would probably be a good place to start. With remarks, mind you, with remarks uttered not after some sort of drunken beer frenzy in Charleston. No, hell no. But offered candidly and soberly in debate on the floor of the most august and exclusive body in the entire world, the Senate of the United States, Lindsey Graham.
I have 12% unemployment in South Carolina. My state's on its knees. I have 31% African American population in South Carolina.
Yeah, you do, Lindsey, you do. And that's why his state's on its knees. The 31% African American population in South Carolina. My state's on its knees. Enter Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer of South Carolina, who went up to Fountain Inn, South Carolina, thought he was going to be talking about conservation, but instead found out he was talking about conservatism. And what conservatism means. Well, this is what conservatism means to Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer.
See, for the first time in the history of this country, we have more people voting for a living than we do working for a living. The most of folks in this room, I guarantee you, are hard-working folks. But the problem is there's so many folks now that don't have to do a thing. In government, we continue to reward bad behavior. Anytime we give somebody money, we're rewarding them. We're telling them to keep doing what they're doing. We discourage you from taking that risk to hire another employee.
Now, I'm just going to ask. Anytime the government gives somebody money, we reward them for what they're doing. Does this include giving $660 million to Trigicon for engraving Bible verses on rifle scopes? Anytime you give money to somebody, they're just going to keep on doing what they're doing. By God, he's right. Trigicon, they put 30-second flip-floppians 12-18 on them rifle scopes, and they went from that to Leviticus 12-21, and they went to John 10-8. Hut! 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 No, sorry, I'm still kind of wrapped up from Sunday's playoff games. But they kept on doing it. You give people money, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. And God knows, we gave Blackwater tons of money. And by God, they kept on murdering and raping and pillaging. And that money didn't even slow them down. I don't know. Maybe Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer, maybe he owned something.
we discourage you from opening that business. And so government's got to change what it does. Babies having babies, somebody's got to talk about. Politicians don't want to talk about it anymore because it's politically incorrect.
Yeah, we can't talk about babies having no babies. Mm-mm. Of course, then again, if you're going to talk about babies having babies, you might want to talk about birth control or access to women's reproductive health care. You might want to talk about that if you don't want babies having babies. No, wait a minute. Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer, he's a good Republican. He's a re-pig licking of the first Bush. So we can't be talking about no women's reproductive health rights. They got a right to lie back and think of England. Maybe contemplate the ceiling. Beige. I'll paint the ceiling beige. That's what women got a right to do in Andre Bauer's South Carolina. Strom Thurmond's upstairs maid. She had a right to take it from old Mars. That's the women's rights that the South Carolina good conservative family values re-piglickings are all over them women's rights. I don't know. I got a bad feeling about this.
The fact that we continue to improve education cannot really be improved until we address the real problem. I can show you a bar graph where free and reduced lunch has the worst test scores in the state of South Carolina. You show me the school that has the highest free and reduced lunch, and I'll show you the worst test scores, folks.
Okay. I remember a long time ago, because, you know, I got that terrible habit of doing all that book reading. I remember a long time ago, I read a book called The Water is Wide by a man who was at the time a young author named Pat Conroy. It was later made into a movie called Conrack, about his experiences as a young school teacher in South Carolina trying to teach in one of the poorest communities that state had to offer, and that was an incredibly poverty-stricken community of African-American folks in the low country. And I remember being moved by that book. The movie was quite good, too. And, of course, part of the message of that book was that there was all kinds of hope, and there were dreams, and there were ambitions in that little tiny school district, that little tiny neglected, forgotten backwater school district comprised only of African-American children about whom the state government in Columbia cared not a tinker's damn. And you know what? Free lunches didn't have anything to do with it. There were intelligent children there, but they had no chance. And it wasn't because lunch was being given them. Not at all. You show me the highest free reduced lunch program in the school in this state, I'll show you the lowest test scores. I'll bet you will, Lieutenant Governor Sumbitch. I mean, Andre Bauer. I'll bet you will. And I'll bet you Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer would not on a daggum dare go into one of those school districts. You know, some of that Negro might rub off on him. Just ask Lindsey Graham. We on our knees. Our state's got 31% black people. Oh, my God. But when you're a right-wing repig-licking, it doesn't occur to you to wonder if maybe the statistical correlation isn't between lunch and spending on lunch and poor test scores. It doesn't occur to you that there might actually be a much less tenuous, a much stronger connection between poverty itself and lowered test scores. I don't care the color of the child's skin. If that child is coming to school from living in a car, that child's chances of success are going to be dramatically diminished. I don't care the race of the child. If that child is coming to school in the morning, having heard the night before the agonized screams of mommy having the hell beat out of her by daddy because daddy was a-drinking again, that child's likelihood of what they call successful educational outcome is not going to be good. I don't care about the race of the child. If that child went to bed without dinner, that child's actual nutrition is going to, or lack thereof, is going to have a profoundly negative impact on his ability to learn, or hers. It is inescapable. It is scientifically inescapable that these things will happen. But yet to, but on the other side of things, and a scientist like our buddy Lottie in the chat room could probably address this much better, to say that you show me high incidences of free lunch and I'll show you low test scores, that's called anecdotal evidence. That's like saying what? You show me a place with snow on the ground, and I'll show you somebody having macaroni and cheese for dinner. It's anecdotal. There's no correlation between the two. But we haven't gotten... No, friends and neighbors, brothers and sisters. We haven't gotten to the bad part yet. And I apologize for the quality of the audio. It is not the best, but we'll muddle through. We're not at the bad part.
It's there, period. And so how do you fix it? Well, you say, look, if you receive goods or services from the government, then you owe something back. If you don't pay your taxes, do you think the government's going to come get you? They are. Mm-hmm. All of us. There's repercussions if we don't...
Listen to him chuckle.
If you receive goods and services from the government, there are no repercussions. We'll make you take a drug test. We ought to. We don't even make you show up to your child's...
You rotten bastard, we don't even make you pay the taxes you ought to be paying. You pay an overall, Andre Bauer, lower tax rate than the poor folks that you're condemning. No doubt about it.
Parent-teacher conference meeting, or to the PTA meeting. You go to a school where there's an active participation of parents, and guess what? They have the highest test scores. So what do? You say, look, folks, if you receive goods and services from the government and you don't attend a parent-teacher conference, bam, you lose your benefits. We're going to have to do things like that. We can't afford it.
You know, he hates government. He hates that government bureaucracy. How's he going to prove that mama and or daddy went to that PTA meeting? Somebody going to have to be there on the government clock taking roll. And then he's going to complain about, well, we got a lot of waste in our educational system. What we need to do is get the government out of the educating business and have our good private schools where they run by, get schooling back into the hands of religion like it's supposed to be. Actually, that was once said, not by Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer, but by Jerry Falwell. Yeah. Of course, he was on the same side of the political coin as, I'm sure, a good, fine, upstanding, family values Republican like Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer. But we haven't gotten to the bad part yet.
Keep just giving money away. My grandmother was not a highly educated woman, but she...
This is the bad part. I don't want to interrupt it. I want you to get it all.
Things like that. We can't afford to keep just giving money away. My grandmother was not a highly educated woman, but she told me as a small child to quit feeding stray animals. You know why? Because they breed. You're facilitating the problem. If you give an animal or person ample food supply, they will reproduce. Especially one that don't think too much further than that. And so what you've got to do is you've got to curtail that type of behavior. They don't know any better. I was talking to a nurse.
They don't know any better. You got to curtail that their behavior. If you feed a stray animal, they going to breed. Let's see. And who would those stray animals be? Let's check back with Senator Graham.
I have 31% African American population in South Carolina.
I'm just checking. Yeah. If you give them free money, they're going to breed. Jesus. Strom Thurmond must be down in hell just beaming with pride. Satan sitting there at the right hand of Satan. Satan, I taught you good, didn't I, boy? Yeah, and I taught them too, my master lord and my demonic, satanic master. I taught, yes, I did. All right, son. Go on back. Get on the spit. Time to barbecue your ass some more. I'm loving it, Lord Satan. I'm loving it. My grandmother was not a highly educated woman, says Andre Bauer. But she told me as a small child to quit feeding stray animals. You know why? You're facilitating the problem. If you give an animal or a person who has the status of an animal, he said parenthetically, ample food supply, they will reproduce, especially ones that don't think too much further than that. You know, that's all they can do. You know, they poor. That's all they can afford to do is, you know, do it. They all the time do it. We got to lock up the white women's at night. They just doing it and doing it and doing it. It's a horror to behold.
1% African American population in South Carolina.
Yeah, thank you, Lindsay. Thank you. Lindsay hates to be left out of things like this. We don't have to worry about secession in this country. South Carolina, places like South Carolina are already deeply mired in their own separate reality. You know, some places you walk in and says, leave your cares at the door. Welcome sign in South Carolina says, leave reality at the door. Maybe it says, leave the 21st and 20th centuries at the door. Maybe it says, leave the 19th century at the door. I'm not overblowing this. That man said poor people, and we know in South Carolina speak when he says poor people, he means black people. That man said poor people are animals. 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 Of course, if you don't feed, what he didn't say about them stray animals is if you don't feed them, they die off. He wants people to go get a job, but there's no job to get. So they just need to, oh, wait a minute. Dear God, it's one of those Pastor Hagee moments. Starve! You give an animal a personally ample food supply, they'll reproduce. And so what you got to do is you got to curtail that type of behavior. They don't know any better. And he starts out talking about babies having babies. You see, that's the difference that a few years of domination of the media by the right wing makes. It used to be this kind of trash could only be talked in certain circles, and you had to be wearing a bed sheet and a pillowcase over your head to get away with saying it. And refer to people as exalted noble wizard and grand dragon and so forth. But after 30 years or so of the poisoning of the airwaves and the poisoning of our national consciousness by Rush Limbaugh, boy, call me back when you've got that bone out of your nose. Yeah, that Rush Limbaugh. He's an angry black man. Yeah, that Rush Limbaugh. By Rush Limbaugh, by Sean Hannity, by Glenn Beck, and by the thousands and thousands and thousands of other hours upon hours upon hours of right-wing hate that have flooded this nation in those past 30 years. After all of that, it has become okay to say things that it used to be you could only say at your Clavern meeting in public. And this isn't about free speech. You know what? I want Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer to say these things. I desperately want him to. I want him to say them over and over and over again and never apologize for it. Because I want the rest of the country to be left with no doubt whatsoever in their minds of what a bunch of sick, right-wing, fascistic, racist, bigoted thugs comprise the Republican Party. Because you'll note that the audio quality that I just played you was poor at best. But he was speaking to a crowd. A crowd of his fellow white South Carolinians. And occasionally they can be heard in that crowd noise. You probably heard it. What a government do if you don't pay your taxes? And you hear some titters in the audience. They come get me. Here's the telling point. No one, not a soul in that audience in Fountain Inn, South Carolina, called him down. This is South Carolina where people jump up and slap each other with gloves and spit on the ground and carry on. How dare you, my good sir? Still talk like that down there. Well, there was no how dare you in the crowd. Not one. Because there was no disagreement in the crowd. The people who came out to see this sick, racist, bigoted freak are out of their claverns now. And they're strutting their stuff. They are parading their bigotry and their hatred in public for all to see. And they were not only accepting of what Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer said, they were approving of it. That's what I've always said. They's like animals. They don't know no better than to just do it. Babies having babies, the reason they do, and that's all. It's in their nature. They just gonna do that. That's how they are. Whew. Now, just to make sure, let's see if Lieutenant Governor Bauer, has anything left to say.
The other day, and she was in the hospital delivery room of a girl who was 10 years old delivering a baby. Can you imagine that? What chance?
Did you hear the whistle in the audience? Got a whistle out of that, but not a damn word out of don't feed the animals. That wasn't me. That was on the tape. That last one was me. 10 years old and having a baby. But not a whistle, a hoot, not a protest when he called such people animals. Not a word. Not a word.
Does that child have, for the mother that's a baby herself? Very little chance. And so I hope in the General Assembly more of you will speak up and say, this political correctness is killing our country.
What? Huh? Yeah. This political correctness is killing our country? Of course it is. Because, you see, if we criticize Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer, he's being persecuted but for not being politically correct. Because, as we all know and have known for quite some time, politically correct is a term that the right wing uses whenever we catch them being their own racist, bigoted, normal selves. Now the follow-up. The story did make the news. Oh, yes. It made the news, and it was a TV story in South Carolina. Check out the coverage.
First at 6, feeding stray animals. That's the metaphor Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer used to describe families who receive free or reduced-price meals in public schools. Good evening. I'm Susan Elizabeth Littlefield. Bauer made that statement last night at a town hall meeting. It happened in the upstate. It's caused quite a backlash in the political community today, many calling for Bauer to apologize. But today, the lieutenant governor talked to News 10's Jillian Capobianca. He says he stands by those remarks.
Conservation. That's what Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer thought he would be asked about at Saturday's gubernatorial forum in Columbia. Instead, he spent part of the day defending a controversial comment. At a town hall meeting in Fountain Inn, Bauer compared the cycle of the government giving money to the poor without expecting anything in return to feeding stray animals, saying, quote, "You're facilitating the problem if you give an animal or person ample food supply."
There was no way that I was trying to tie animals to people. But what I was trying to talk about is a dependency culture, and that just like when you feed animals, you create a dependency.
South Carolina's Democratic Party chairwoman doesn't buy his explanation.
I was horrified that a Republican leader thinks of his constituents, just because they're poor, as stray animals.
According to the Associated Press, Bauer says poor parents of...
But you understand, you got to understand that woman there that just said that he thought that way. Well, she ain't a right-thinking South Carolina Catalanian, because if she was, she wouldn't be no damn Democrat anyway. I mean, it says Democrat there, but you know what that means. That means she's a Democratic, Socialist, Marxist, Obamacare supporter. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Students who eat free or reduced-price meals in school cafeterias should be required to attend parent-teacher conferences, or the students should go without.
Well, my solution is, if you receive goods and services from the government, you ought to have to attend a parent-teacher conference. You ought to have to attend a PTA meeting.
Fowler agrees.
I hate that man. Sorry, just dawned on me. I do. I wouldn't pee in his mouth if his guts were on fire. I wouldn't. See, he lives in a world where money is provided him, and maybe his family's got money. You know, my family, you want to be him? My daddy's rich. That kind of thing. And it never occurred to him that maybe mama is working when those parent-teacher conferences are being carried on. Or maybe she's on job number two. Or maybe daddy ain't nowhere to be found. Or maybe daddy works out of state. Or maybe daddy's working on job number two. Maybe they're working four jobs. Because, see, here's the little thing that Governor Bauer don't understand. Just because you get free or reduced price lunch doesn't mean you're some goddamn deadbeat out there sucking up the life out of the government. We live in a country with a rapidly expanding serf class, where no matter how hard they work, the money is never enough to meet the needs. But see, those people don't exist in Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer's world. Oh, wait a minute. This could be, you get fun. Let's go back to the Action News report there with Larissa Trombone Jones or whatever her name is. Because she's going to talk to that communist, Marxist, socialist, Democrat woman some more.
Agrees that parents need to be more involved, but that parents should be educated by the school system to do so.
I don't think it can be the lieutenant governor talking to town hall meetings. Because that's nobody's listening to that. None of those parents are listening to that. I guess they'll know about it when their children's lunches are cut out.
Opposing Democratic candidates have
liberal
also come out to speak against the lieutenant governor. State Superintendent Dr. Jim Rex says Bauer should apologize, stating, if his intent was to blame children who are not responsible for their own predicaments, it is regrettable. Candidate Mullins McCall says, quote, it amazes me how some Republican politicians claim a monopoly on Christianity and then go out and say and do some of the most unchristian things imaginable.
I really think it's deplorable that people have made this so political, but that they don't have the backbone to give any answers or any ways to change this. Their answer is just keep funding it.
I'll have more of what Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer had to say tonight at 11. You can also watch my entire interview with him on our website, WISTV.com. Just click on this story. Live in the studio, Jillian Capobianco, WIS News 10.
Okie dokie. Yeah, they ain't got no solution. They just want to go on feeding them. When it's easy enough to tell that the solution is to let the little bastard starve. Starve if you won't get off your blessed assurance. Starve! Is he running for governor or Pastor Hagee? You know that somebody is a four-square evil bastard when our friend Jude begins an email that says, son of a bitch, who in the hell do these people think they are? Jude delights me with her compassion and the beauty of her thoughts. It's always a joy to see an email come from her. But I know we have pulled the hood off a grand dragon when her email starts with, son of a bitch, who do these people think they are? Reminds me of Sherry Goforth from Senator Dianne Black's office with the email she sent from the senator's office showing the prior presidents, and when it came to President Obama's photo, only two white eyes were showing. Here's the Jude I know so well. So out of the mouth, so speaketh the heart. That was the email sent on to Lieutenant Governor Bauer. Shameful example of one who claims to follow the King of Peace. This is exactly what this Christian cult is about, ignorant in thinking. Now, by the way, and this is an addendum from Jude, he also wanted to get license plates with a cross on them. These people are vile, hating, self-important hypocrites with nothing that resembles anything of good, no examples of compassion. And from Cindy in the Great Northwest, an uneducated grandmother spawns an uneducated grandchild. So what else is new? Yeah, wait a minute. Where'd you get your lunch, Andre? You talking about your uneducated grandma? See, that one blew right past me. Didn't get by Cindy though. God, I love you guys. Thank God I'm not drinking. I'd have the lampshade on. I love you, man. No. Never during the show. Nothing but decaf
ginger peach tea, which, by the way, is magnificent, with a little blast of lemon in it. And for the first time this evening, to the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program. Hey, Juanita.
There's all kind of scenarios that could be. I can think quite a few. Maybe they don't have a way to go.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe. You know, maybe there's one car. Because, see, I guess there's no non-two-car or no none-car families in Andre Bauer's world, Juanita.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, what do you mean you don't have a car? My God, get to drive it. Oh, just call the butler and have him take you. Have him bring a car around.
And, you know, there are some children who don't have parents and some who maybe have just one parent.
Yes, indeed. But see, that they don't. They're that way because God doesn't like them.
Yeah, but you know, Bob, I think I really believe that our country really took a turn when all that stuff came out about Abba Grave. Am I pronouncing it right?
Close enough. I can't do any better.
And I thought then that, you know, people would be outraged. And then you had...
Oh, no. Oh, no, Juanita.
No, I know. And I think, you know, that affects all of society. And a lot of adults believe that it's the correct thing to do. Did you hear the brown guy that won in Massachusetts, what he said?
In which part?
He was talking indirectly about the people in Guantanamo, about giving them the same rights that we have, and, you know, and about, and he also brought up about the, you know, not having the ability to, what do they call their kind of torture?
Enhanced interrogation techniques.
He did, and they were yay, including his daughters.
Yeah. See, I remember when Abu Ghraib broke. That was back when I was still doing the terrestrial radio thing in America's fifth smallest radio market. And I remember having to sit there night after night. Bob, I can't believe how un-American you are. They just had to get that wasn't no torture. It's like Rush Limbaugh done said. It was no worse than any fraternity prank.
But you know that gives a nature to our country. And it goes down to the children. And a lot of children don't have anybody to teach them any different.
No.
And there's been a couple of cases down here where children set their parents on fire, a couple of mothers, while they were sleeping.
Meaning to?
One of them had her little boyfriend to help her. You know, he's about 15 years old. And I really believe that comes out of all that. And they're not thinking about, you know, they'll call into C-SPAN and say, well, they cut the heads off our people. Well, when did they start doing it? I think after we started all of our tomfoolery.
I think you're right.
I may be wrong, but I think
you're right. But, you know, it's all over this country. You know how it is around here. I have to be careful about what stories I open when Agnes is in the room. And I kind of dodged a couple of days ago. I opened a story. Fourth grade child in an elementary school in Texas was found hanged. And they said it was a suicide.
Oh.
Yeah. Does the same thing to Agnes.
That it was kids that did it.
Well, no, he was bullied a lot in fourth grade. He was bullied a lot, and he finally just said, you know, it's better. I guess he figured in his little fourth grade mind that it was better not to be than to be like he was.
Yeah. Yep. And it's gonna get more and more cruel, you know. We got to get those people investigated. But you know what? If they get back in power, I guarantee you, Obama will be impeached before his head can spin around.
Yeah, for God only knows what. Acorn.
Well, they'll find something.
Well, no, they don't have to find something. There ain't going to be nothing there. They'll make something up.
And that Nancy Pelosi, they'll probably take her out and rope her up.
You know, it amazes me, Juanita, and I guess they don't. I guess I'm asking a rhetorical question, but I really want your answer, so it's not rhetorical. Do they not understand that there's lots of good, solid liberals and progressives in this country who will bust their butts for them to get real liberals elected in this country if they will only do what they were sent there to do? Does Harry Reid not understand that if he would get out there and lead and be progressive, be liberal, that we would shut the right wing up by shouting them down if necessary? I mean, my God, this man Harry Reid is signing on to some ugly, ugly stuff that you would expect out of a Republican.
Well, I haven't heard the news lately about him.
Oh, I heard it, golly Moses, maybe this morning or yesterday, I'm not sure when, but I forget what the laundry list was on what he was signing on to, but it was icky.
Well, the thing is that unless they change and help us out, and we don't ask for much. We can do a lot with little. But help us out. Stand up for us. If they don't do that, they're going to be out. And we're going to be way out.
Yeah, we're going to. And that's a suitable reminder, Juanita. If they think for an instant, if we think, not they, but if we think for an instant that we got problems under this crop, Wait till you see the sour persimmons we get November of this year.
Yeah.
When the teabaggers and the birthers and the deathers and the tenthers who are active, get busy and throw some people out on their keisters.
Yeah, and then they can go ahead with their impeachment. They'll have investigations coming out of everybody's ears.
You know, meanwhile today. Harry Reid comes out and says there's no rush to complete or pass a health care bill.
Yeah.
No rush, no hurry.
Well, I'm mad about a lot of things now, and I'm sad and frustrated and everything else. But
don't forget disgusted.
Yeah, disgusted. Because we got a guy that could have been one of the greatest presidents, but he's blowing it. He is blowing it. And don't you know that if they had have kept Howard Dean on as head of the Democratic, whatever he did, election.
DNC.
Don't you know he'd have told that woman to get out there and shake some hands?
Yeah, kiss some hands and shake some babies, dadgummit.
But you know what? It seems to me like it was all a setup that they wanted to lose. Why did they choose her? I mean, I'm just beside the point. I don't know. But it looks to me like that they're in cahoots, a lot of them, with whoever's in charge of this world. Joe Lieberman, I guess. I don't know, Bob, I'll tell you.
Well, you know, he said he could very well be a good old-fashioned New England moderate Republican today, or yesterday.
Oh, really?
Or sometime recently, yeah.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
But,
You've been talking to Betsy or something out there with your Oy Vey.
Been talking to Bob?
No, I'm kidding. I said, you've been talking to Betsy out there using Oy Vey.
I like Jewish people. Except for the neocons, I don't like them. But anyway, that's a deep subject.
Well, yes.
But, Bob, a lot of people are going to be surprised when they get rid of unions and what the unions have brought to this country. 40-hour work weeks, 8-hour days, 5 days a week, minimum wage, overtime, all that's going to be gone. And you can work yourself to death. It'll be worse than the coal miners had to do, because they will have their final power where they can do just anything they want to. And they'll have their final power, and we can all just drop dead. We won't have any Social Security or Medicare. And we can work, including...
Oh, by the way, that was a little bit of relief. Did you catch that today? Judd Gregg's big idea for a deficit reduction panel was shot down in the Senate. He's not running for re-election, so he doesn't necessarily care much. But yeah, that thing was shot down 56-34 with one not voting.
Well, I'm hoping. I'm going to try to make. I've got to write. I don't even listen to Obama's speeches, but I'm hoping that Gary will be right. You know, he called the other day.
Yeah.
I'm hoping he'll be right, because this guy could be a great president. Instead of a footnote in history, if he's even remembered as in history. But I will guarantee you that they will impeach him.
If
the Democrat, and you got my senator down here saying, we went too far to the left. Bill Nelson.
Bill Nelson said that.
The other Nelson, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Bill Nelson, the other white Nelson.
Yeah, and you know,
Vi. Oh, I made it funny.
Vi is disgusting.
Well, and see that.
We went too far to the left.
we went too far to the left. We
no,
didn't,
you didn't
go to the left at all.
No. No.
That's stunning, but you know they say this stuff just to make sure that we don't, you know, because if standing still will be called moving to the left, then actually doing anything beneficial for the American people will be called, oh wait, it's already happened, outright communism.
Yeah, you know what, they had a program, and I couldn't watch it all. It scared the bejesus out of me. It was on History Channel a few months ago about the Nazis.
Mm-hmm.
And they said they are with us big time. And these people, like that guy talking about stray animals and all, that sounds a lot like it. I've studied a lot about World War II. I'm just fascinated about World War II history.
Well, and remember that old saying, if fascism comes to America, it will come wrapped in a flag and carrying a Bible.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But anyway. But I would like to say something, if I can, about that debate.
Mm-hmm.
Blankenship impresses me as a person who is subtly arrogant.
No, I don't think there's anything subtle
and
about him.
Extremely condescending.
Oh, that, absolutely. And
if they said that y'all were handpicked, there sure was a lot of loud laughter at his stupid little jokes. And tell Luke that, according to Blankenship, that if they're going to get that solar panel place up in Tennessee, it's because it just happened. It didn't have to have any funding, because coal will get funding. Didn't he say that?
When there's more corporate welfare out there for coal, but then again, we know this.
And, you know, he is like...
What they need to understand at that solar panel factory in Clinton, Tennessee, is it's all for naught, because just like Don Blankenship said, well, solar panels don't work in the dark.
Yeah, like Sessions said, we don't get much sunshine in Alabama.
And that would be Jefferson Beauregard Sessions of Wood.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah.
That's him, but you know, but I just got this impression about that guy. He's just dead set. He don't give a happy, and I don't know. He's just something else. And I thought to myself, oh, I bet Bob's out there holding his hands under his seat. Because I felt the same way, Bob, and I wasn't there.
I know.
That guy, boy, and them people laughing at his silly jokes.
I know.
And they don't know the last laugh is on them, and he'll be laughing all the way to the bank.
Oh, I wish you could have read some of the comments on the on that TV site after the debate. I think it was WOWK. There was one on there. It was just one long paragraph from this woman talking about my poor coal miner husband. And all them tree huggers, and he has to have his coal job because he don't know how to do nothing else. God, and then it ends with, God bless our heroic coal miner husbands who don't know how to do nothing else. But, you know, that was one of those catchphrases that came out of that conference yesterday when the governor of the state of West Virginia said, every coal mining job in West Virginia, every job in West Virginia is a precious job.
Oh, they had the hillbilly thing on History Channel the other night.
Yeah, I saw your email. I didn't get to, but I didn't see it in time to see it.
They had the guy that who was it that about the Blair Mountain, and they were going to court, and he was ambushed. Him and his family and everybody was ambushed by the...
by the Baldwin thugs? Yeah, that was...
And he was killed?
Yeah, two-gun Sid Hatfield, gunned down on the steps of the McDowell County Courthouse.
And because he went without a weapon, you know, out of good faith.
Yeah. But he also told people long before that happened, he said, they're going to kill me. He knew.
Yeah.
You know, once one of the Phelps brothers died at Matewan, there was going to be retribution. No two ways about it.
That's just so terrible, terrible, terrible. Well, I hope our country can turn around, but something, I don't know, these people, I don't know what they are, but except I think they are Nazis. They can call us Nazis all they want to. It's just like I was telling my son about Ray Stevens, and we listened to it on YouTube, and he said, well, that reminded him of the song. Music of it reminded him of a song from the 60s. Joe Fish and the...
Oh, Country Joe and the Fish?
Yeah. And anyway, he found it and played it, and I said, well, what he did was nothing. I mean, well, my son said, well, it was similar. It was like copied from it as far as the tune. But that was a great song.
Oh, but so your son says that Ray Stevens lifted the tune from Country Joe and the Fish?
In a way, yeah.
Wouldn't surprise me. I mean, Ray Stevens has never been known as a great writer of music. He's a, you know, he's a funny parody lyricist that puts some hackneyed country music behind it.
It was almost like he was making fun of the teabaggers.
Yeah, well, he was in a way, but he's always done that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was making fun of people with the streak. You know, Ethel, you shameless hussy. Remember that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember when they did streaking, but it was like a fad. But what he said, "We the people," is not what I'm calling "We the people," and we had it first.
No, what Ray Stevens? No, what Ray Stevens means in that thing is we the white people.
Right. Right. Us-ums. Us-ums and we-ums.
Yeah. You know, there's we the people, and then there's those people.
Yep. Like that guy, I don't know what his name is, from Carolina. That guy's...
You mean the lieutenant governor there?
Right, yeah. Yeah, they're coming out more. They're coming out of the woodwork with all their racialism.
Well, that's what I said, Juanita. It's thanks to 30 years of Limbaugh and Hannity and O'Reilly and Rush and yeah, you know who else? That old miserable something or another, Paul Harvey.
Yeah.
Good day. Well, it turns out, I don't know if you saw this story over the weekend.
You said something. I didn't.
I saw it right after the show ended Friday night, and it just blew my tiny mind. It turns out the FBI, as a result of a Freedom of Information Act request, released the Paul Harvey file. And Paul Harvey was in cahoots with J. Edgar Hoover. Sent him every day. He would send him pressed vinyl recordings of his show for J. Edgar to listen to.
Yeah.
Oh, sickening.
Well, you know,
America's best loved radio voice.
I remember hearing him one time. I'd been in a car accident and I had a whiplash, and he was making fun of people saying they had a whiplash.
Well, you just needed to go down to your local True Value Hardware and get a neck brace.
He was saying, you know, it was all a lie, you know, basically. You know how he was. But I never did like that guy. I know people who did, and they thought, oh, he's such a wonderful Christian. But I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, no, this whole story just completely deconstructed him. He started out as a red baiter and a commie hunter. As an attempt to build prestige and popularity for his radio broadcasts. And that's how he ran afoul of the FBI, trying to sneak into a lab near Chicago that he had been, railing against, saying, anybody could get in there. And he got caught trying to get in there and tried to lie his way out of it.
Well, you heard of Glenn Beck's latest movie?
There's another one?
Not movie, but...
Yeah, because I can't take the Christmas sweater again.
No, this is about nobody knows this but him. About what Mao did, you know, how... I can't even think now. What Mao did, and atrocities.
Oh, okay.
And Stalin, and it's coming out. He's bringing it out because nobody else knows about it.
And you know what? Obama's just like them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because, I'm sorry. I just love my country.
Oh, Lord. I don't understand how people can like him. I don't get it, Bob. I just don't get it.
Well, that's... Juanita, that's because you have a functioning brain. It's pathetic what goes on inside what passes for the minds of a right winger. Because again, and maybe I'm overemphasizing this, and you can tell me if I am. At Lieutenant Governor Andre Bauer's remarks, you know, there in Fountain Inn, South Carolina.
Uh huh.
And you know, you have to say it that way.
Okay.
Again, it's not that this right-wing freak says right-wing freak things. It's that there's no one in the audience who responds with any sort of morals or conscience to the remarks themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, my God, if that had been it's just the difference between how liberals and Republicans operate. If something heinous like that was said even in jest, even by mistake, by some liberal candidate, there would be the next day, whatever the next stop on the campaign tour was, there'd be five different groups there to call him out for it and make him apologize.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, Code Pink might have a die-in in front of him or, you know, who knows what. And I'm not criticizing Code Pink. We hold ours to account.
Oh, yeah, we do.
But they don't hold theirs to account.
No, uh-uh.
Unless it's something that they deem not ideologically pure enough. Remember, yeah. Lindsey Graham, who said, I got 31% black people in my state.
Yeah, yeah.
Lindsey Graham was censured by the South Carolina Republican Party, not for saying that.
But for voting for
the stimulus.
Yeah. Well, and also for, the crowd. Well, you know where he got booed? The crowd was talking about him voting for Sotomayor.
Yeah, that too.
So I don't know how they.
But it's sickening.
It is sickening.
And their silence says they accept it and they agree
uh-huh.
with it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like somebody said to me the other day that why did all those other countries go down there to help Haiti? Why didn't they come here and help our people, you know, during Katrina? And I said, well, they tried. But our government rejected it. But you just as well to tell them all that because some of these people, when you talk to them, their mind's made up. They don't want to hear the truth. That it's got in. That's the way it is, and they don't want to hear the truth.
And, you know, Cindy from the Great Northwest writes in and says, Juanita, she says, Juanita's right again. These guys are Nazis, American Nazis, and they're on the rise because they noticed a black guy in their White House.
Right.
And that freaked them out. Kind of like hitting a beehive with a stick, an Africanized beehive. Oh, the irony.
Yeah. Well, that guy, that Brown, you know, he also, Rachel showed where he was on some kind of show and they were talking about Obama and about his mother was only 18 when he was born.
Yeah.
And one lady said, well, she was married. And he said, I doubt that.
Nah, I'm not so sure about that.
And, yeah. And then later on, when he was questioned, he denied even saying it. I'm just saying, we got to know where this guy's coming from, because people on The View said, oh, what a hot guy he is, you know, he's the best looking.
Oh, he's a stud muffin, oh.
You know, but, you know, he posed in the nude. You know, that wouldn't have done for any of our people, did
he? Oh, no, 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 and if that had been Martha Coakley in the nude, she never would have been allowed to run.
And then his wife, you know, made a video. I don't know if it was in the 70s or 80s. I think I sent it to you. In the 70s or 80s. About the girl with the, some kind of hand. And she was in a bikini. And, which I'm not knocking all that. I'm not knocking.
No, I know you're not, Juanita. I know.
I said, if it goes for our side,
but Juanita,
the most horrible thing.
Juanita, what is sauce for the goose is not sauce for the gander.
No, no way.
They can do that kind of stuff and get away with it.
And I saw like there was a film of him and his daughters. And
I mean, did I miss something? Did John Ensign resign from the Senate after being caught having sex with his best friend's wife? And then having his parents pay her off?
Right. Right.
No, he's still in the Senate,
yeah,
isn't he?
Yeah, the guy wearing diapers. And
oh, yeah, Diaper Dave right. Vitter. Still
yeah.
there.
Still.
Sure.
Pontificating.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, if it's a Democrat, that old saying about being caught with either a dead girl or a live boy is still very much true.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a Republican, it doesn't matter if he gets caught with a I don't know, if he gets caught with a fish. It don't matter because,
yeah.
You know, it's all right. They can be that way.
Okay, well, Bob,
you know,
I thought you were going to be in Washington. I don't know.
Well, I am going to be in Washington. Just
I thought
not
it was tonight.
No.
And
it's.
I want to talk to Bob.
No, it's Thursday. It's Thursday and Friday, and this is the kick. I will not be on at this regular time, at least not live, on Thursday and Friday. I will be on live at noon.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad I asked.
So that that's kind of important.
I thought it was tonight and tomorrow night. I don't know where I get my.
Oh look, you know what, Juanita? It may be. it's Tuesday. I'm thinking it's Monday. By Saturday it'll be a leap year. I'm totally confused.
About time.
Yeah, I'm totally lost.
Yeah,
me too. I've come unstuck in time, just like some sort of character in a Kurt Vonnegut novel. But, no, the plan is for me to drive to D.C. tomorrow. Agnes is getting me packed right now. And then Guy James and I will get together. And then come Thursday morning, we will go and set up our broadcast rig, and we'll get going.
Yeah.
And we'll go from noon to about 5 or a little thereafter, and then we'll do the same thing on Friday. Then Saturday, and this is the part I hadn't really mentioned. I mean, I'm not going to have any on-air part of it, I don't think. But Saturday, I was told by Rick Smith that he's going to be doing his show live from the Progressive Conference in Pennsylvania, up near Harrisburg. And he invited me up, and I figured, well, what the heck, I'm already, you know, because he told me it's only 2 hours, so yeah, what's 2 hours? So I will drive up Saturday morning and go and attend that Progressive Conference in Harrisburg. And it's really exciting because I'm gonna meet somebody I've wanted to meet for a long, long time.
Who's that?
I'm going to meet Mark Carlin from BuzzFlash.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my news site.
And so
that's the one I go to if I go to no other.
Right. Same. It's been a go-to website for years.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to get to meet Mark.
Oh, that's wonderful.
And then right. I will drive home on Sunday.
When are you ever going to be on C-SPAN?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
Lord, never, I hope.
Why?
I don't like TV cameras. Because they don't like me.
Hiding behind the microphone.
That's me, hiding behind the microphone.
You know,
yeah, I don't
a little curtain up there and say, I'm shy, you know.
Yeah, be like Emily Dickinson. Talk from behind the curtain and call myself the Bride of Christ. She was a loopy one, wasn't it? But shouldn't she write some poetry?
Yes, she did. Well, loopy people make the world go round sometimes.
I mean, there's a couple of pictures. There was a press conference after the big to-do yesterday. Down in Charleston, and at the press conference, I didn't say anything. I kept my mouth shut, let other folks talk, but I was in the picture, sort of. And every time one of those things show up, I just go, ah, daggummit, they gone, no. So, you know, there's a picture of half of my head sitting there just with this look on my face, because it's almost impossible to take a good photograph of me.
I don't think I've ever seen a real, I don't know how to describe it, picture of you.
A real happy photo of me?
No, where it really, you can really tell all your features and things like that, you know.
Well, you can, if you go over to WVGazette.com and you go to the Cole Tattoo blog, I'm standing in the background of two photographs there, so.
The what is that?
WVGazette.com, and then there's a blog there called Cole Tattoo, and there's a blog post there by Ken Ward, who is one of America's best environmental writers. And the name of the blog post is Mansion Calls for Calm in the Coal Fields.
Now, the one that you've got on Facebook,
yeah,
that just reminds me of Steve Martin.
Oh, I've heard it all now.
Really?
Steve Martin? I guess I've gone past my David Letterman phase. In earlier years, I was said to resemble David Letterman. I never understood that.
Well, it's just the way, it's just something about, you got that hat on, you know. And the suit and everything.
I like my hat, Juanita.
Yeah,
like my
good looking hat. But you know, it's just every time I see it, I think Steve Martin.
Well, you know, lo and behold, I was wearing the same tie yesterday. People are going to think I only own one necktie after much more of this. And they, well, I got a lot of them, just none of them that work anymore. But, oh, you know, there's other photos out there. There's a picture of me in my long hair days.
I'd like to see that.
No, that's the one John Fox said I looked like a Viking gone to seed. That's when I went for the haircut. When John Fox tells you you're not looking your best. When John Fox tells you it's time for a haircut, you go get the haircut.
Okay.
Well, Juanita, it's wonderful talking with you this evening.
Okay, you too, Bob. And you're gonna be a busy beaver.
Oh, I am. I am. I'll probably be busier than a toothless beaver Thursday and Friday. But you know, Guy and I will try to find a way to sneak out for a meal together so we can do some food porn on the air.
Yeah. You think you ever make it at the Bob Kincaid restaurant?
Not with Guy.
Not with Guy, no.
He won't eat no fish.
Maybe he'll wait out in the car for you.
Well, that wouldn't be fair to Guy. Well, Guy, I just had a delicious seafood meal. What do you say we go buy Jack in the Box for you?
Couldn't you at least just walk in and say, hey, my name is Bob Kincaid, too?
Oh, I intend to do it if I ever get a chance, but
yeah.
No, when you're in D.C. with Guy James, you have to eat either beef or pork. No fish, no chicken, limited array of vegetables. Yeah.
Okay.
But you know what? There's plenty good in that narrow limited category, as we have proven twice now at Fogo de Chao.
Yeah. Well, you and Guy are two good ones together.
I have so much fun when I get to hang out with him. It's not even
like you were meant for each other. You know, is.
Oh, we're.
I don't know how to do. I don't know. You know what I mean?
No, we're a broadcast team made in heaven.
Yeah.
Without a
and
doubt.
You respect one another, and you know, and have confidence in one another.
Yeah, and in the chat room. And I'll save this link here. In the chat room, they just put up the Bob Kincaid Viking gone to seed photograph. So I'll send that to you. It's a big laugh. Juanita, take care, dear.
You too.
Bye now. That's Juanita calling from Central Florida. And on we go. Hey, oh, no, I guess not. All right, lines open if you guys want to jump in. 17 minutes past the hour. 17 past 8 here on the East Coast. Fire up the phones, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. On your nickel, of course, it's 304-658-3333. And email rolls into Bob Kincaid, BobKincaid, @gmail.com. It's all just that easy. If you've never tried out the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room, I highly encourage you to jump right in and try it out. If you get there quick now, you won't see it then, but I'm sure someone will be happy to reprise it for you. I'm having my hat made fun of with the great Rodney Dangerfield line from Caddyshack. Nice hat. Do you get a bowl of soup with that hat? Oh, but it looks good on you. That is a very nice fedora I have on in that picture, I will have you know. Gracious. Okay, so, you know, that's how it works. I'd light them up. We closed the show. Don't hold this against me. We closed the show Friday night with six lines blinking, and you are welcome to get them all going again. And by golly, we'll do our best to hit them all. Hey, welcome to the program,
Bob. This is Dave. Are you?
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Oh, not bad at all. I wanted to let you know that today, all over the country, they had demonstrations once again, and. For various causes, but primarily because the health insurance is failing so badly for meeting the needs of working people and poor people and whatnot. So, I spoke at ours locally. Several others did here on any number of the issues that concern us so much. So, I don't know if you had a chance in all your running around to be tied in with any of them, but some pretty good rallies have been going on today.
I haven't had a chance to, no, but go ahead and elaborate if you don't mind.
Well, I think for the most part, if you could bring it up, MoveOn.org had been coordinating, and it was a last-minute idea that they wanted to have it, and so people didn't. A lot of people won't be learning that it was happening until after it's over. That's unfortunate, you know.
We're so good at that kind of organizing.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm going to the rally tomorrow. What do you mean? No, that was yesterday.
Yeah.
Oh, well, never mind.
Tell me about it. Yeah. We discussed the other day, too, and I'm more and more convinced of it, that our elections are being rigged, and they're being rigged big time. And it is what's put in power, those the big corporate elitists who are in the business of exploiting and trying to get more and more and more from the working poor for the very rich. And they're doing that by tricking us, by putting in place the Rush Limbaughs and the Sean Hannitys and whatnot, and having them lie to us. And then they put the machines in place where we vote one way and it comes out another way. So democracy has taken a terrible, terrible hit, and I think we've got to get aware of it and then got to do something about it. That's what's critical to me. It is that the world, we no longer want to yield to a government by the wealthy for the wealthy. It's got to be a government for the people, by the people, of the people. And it is not that right now as I see it.
Well, I fear that government by the people, of the people, and for the people, as Lincoln warned, has perished from the earth.
Oh, yeah. So then the question is there any way to revive it? Can it be saved? Is it too badly damaged? And I have fears in that regard, but I do.
Well, as I said, I have never seen any country in the history of the world as we know it voluntarily step back from the concept of empire, Dave. Empires collapse. They don't back off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Germans were trying to have themselves a little empire until they came out on the wrong end of the First World War. God knows Hitler was building an empire. The British Empire collapsed after the Second World War, more or less, and then Gandhi and India pretty much put an end to it once and for all. You know, that old phrase, the sun never sets on the British Empire. Well, it does now, and not by Britain's choosing. And the Persian Empire collapsed. The Roman Empire collapsed. The Athenian Empire collapsed.
So the question, can anything be done to intercede to save yet a wonderful country? Can it be done? And, you know, I'm not one to say give up, it's hopeless, but I have been witnessing now for several years and participating as actively as I can in marches by the thousands, even in the small community, this happening. And demonstrations at courthouses, at corner blocks, along highways with our signs. And right now we have a government, and we've had it now for the past several years, that just does turn their back and ignores it. How can they do that? And the answer that I keep coming up with, they no longer care how the people think or how the people vote. They own the machine. And so they'll decide how we're going to vote. That's what I'm convinced of, and I think that's what's devastating to me. Anybody that gets that in their head enough to say, we want verifiable paper ballots that we can see how we voted, they just ignore it. No, you don't want paper ballots. You want our Sequoias and Diebolds to do your counting for you. And I think that's the reality that we're up against.
Because there's a buck to be made in it, because, again, long before this noxious Supreme Court decision that came down last Thursday, Dave, there is an absolute Republican onslaught to corporatize the federal government. I've got a story right here, right now, that gives me the big queasies, because I'm one of those children of the space age. I'm one of those people who was 6 and 7 years old watching the moonshots go up. And, you know, it was, to a 7-year-old, it was mind-expanding.
Oh,
It was the absolute apex of human achievement. So Susie Madrake over, I've been told it's Madrake, by the way, over at Crooks and Liars has a post today, headline for which is, Obama will propose outsourcing for some NASA programs. And Susie writes underneath a photograph of the Challenger exploding, oh, what a great idea. What could possibly go wrong? Because the private sector never, ever cuts corners to save a buck.
Well, and it's more than just that. It's a great overall plan of just shifting a whole treasury into the pockets of the very greedy corporate wealthy. And it did slip out now. I've heard that our senatorial election in Massachusetts, at least they get the last part of it, and that was to say that Massachusetts is divided. In some places, they had verifiable paper balloting. In those areas, the Democrats won and won big time. Other parts of Massachusetts had the electronic voting machine. There, the Republicans won and won big time. And I got to wonder, is that possible? Is that something that that's unthinkable. Why are we not saying that's grounds for recount right now? She's not saying it. She's a part of the problem.
No, she quit before she. No, she, really. Martha Coakley quit before there anything. Before the balloting, the polls even closed, there were reports of ballots that were pre-marked for the Scott Brown out there.
Yeah.
No matter. You know, as Brad Friedman noted, she ran a sprint to concede that race. As if, you know, whew,
How did she get in position to be the candidate for the Democrats? That's the question for me. If they can rig the final primary, the finals, why can't they rig the primaries? They can. There's nothing that says they can't.
Well, I don't know that the primary needed rigging.
Well, they select for us the candidates that they want us to have running, and then they decide who among them they want us to have.
Yeah, but look, there are two things that play into the willingness to participate in politics. One, and it doesn't require any rigging, Dave. One is simply a matter of money. Some guy out there with a brilliant mind who is making maybe $25,000 a year working some government job, for instance, can't quit that job and run for office.
No.
Simply can't. A guy who is making $60,000 a year in the private sector can't run for office. Because he cannot serve two masters. He can't go to work every day and run an election in his off time or her off time. So right there, the field is narrowed to those who have the luxury of leisure time in which to run. That means incumbents and people with enough money to not really have to work. Like Mitt Romney. You know, there's Mitt Romney who was basically just a roulette player in the investment world who got lucky on staples and got rich that way and then could run for office. All right? So that's the one. The other thing is that if you are a liberal, if you are a progressive, if you are a Democrat, and I'll extend it and say if you're a Green, and quite possibly an independent, the only group that this does not apply to is a Republican. If you're any of those groups and you ever so much as got a ticket for jaywalking, they will eat, the right wing and the Republican Party will eat you alive. And they won't stop with you. They'll savage you till you're good and bloody, but once you're on the ground, they'll start on your spouse. And then they'll go after your children.
Well, Bob,
and who wants to be a part of that? So by the time you get to who can be in the primary, the system has self-selected down to it's not natural selection, it's unnatural selection, and it unnaturally selects for people with money and ambition, and brains are not even part of it.
You do all that you can to help us explore that truth and to be, to make us aware. We gotta get aware before we can do a damn thing, you know. As long as we only turn on the station that they have chosen for us and listen to the lies that they have chosen for us, we won't be able to even begin to address the reality that we're up against. I think you explore it. You look for truth. You're one of very few that do, and it is our hope, Bob. Please do stay with it.
Well, you know what, Dave? I will, as long as we're allowed to. And by allowed to, I mean as long as we can pay the bills every month, we'll be here.
There's a lot of people that are not in a spot to be much help to you.
No, but I understand that. But there's always something. If this is worth having, Dave, there's always something that people can do. And this is not me promoting me. This is me promoting the horn and the idea of discussion and dialogue and debate.
I'm trying to get a Unitarian Fellowship, and I hope all others that are listening online that have a Unitarian Fellowship or any church that is like them to say, this is a reality, let us send some of our money to support the horn, what they're trying to do. That's, you know, making people aware is the first big step.
Well, it absolutely is, and that's what I was going to say. You know, folks who can't contribute financially can use things like Facebook and Twitter to put out there that, you know, because this is the reality. We are the last there is. We are the last organization that is still trying to put together a full liberal broadcast lineup. Air America's dead. Everything else is gone. Other shows, bless their hearts, are operating as one-man or one-woman operations. The horn is all there is now.
Yeah, you and Malloy, Harmon, a few others, but by God, they're taking out some of the best. How did they ever get Peter B. Collins?
I think they just wore Peter B. Collins out.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah. So, they're, you know.
They've been allowing me to listen to you now for several days, so I'm going to stay with it for as long as that's possible, and I'm going to do what I can to try to get you some help.
I appreciate it, Dave. I really, really do. You take care, and you tell Miss Alice we all said hello.
Oh, I did. I did. Thank you so much.
All right.
Yeah, she's happy with that.
Great. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
That's Dave calling from California. And just to reiterate real quick and make it clear, there's a PayPal button at headonradionetwork.com and there's a snail mail address. The only thing that keeps this going is your support. You're not going to hear a commercial for a car company on this program. You're not going to hear a commercial for vacuum cleaners that pick up bowling balls and drop them on Swedish mattresses that are then slept on by men with erectile dysfunctions, but their hair's regrowing back because of the herbal remedy that they rub into their scalp every night. And if you only call the 800 number, your hair will start growing back, too, and it may grow on the bowling ball as well. Those ads will never run on the horn because those ads would compromise my ability to host this discussion. The right-wing commercial model failed, and failed spectacularly in the form of Air America Radio. Because, precisely, it was done on the model of right-wing radio. And right-wing radio, that model will not work among liberals and progressives and other various and sundry intelligent people. Just won't. And just to be absolutely crystal clear about things, it's the 26th day of January. Thanks to your manifest kindness, we are only about $800 away from making our monthly goal of $2,000 per month. You know, I was listening to West Virginia Public Radio coming up the road last night from Charleston. because it's the closest. Well, it, at least it's not right, constant right wingism, but it's it is pledge drive month, I guess. And that's where you have the frustration of getting your programming interrupted by a pitch like this. But I was surprised to hear that West Virginia Public Radio, you know, it seems like every time you turn the knob, it's another pledge drive. I guess they do this two or three or four times a year. And they've got a staff, and they've got power bills to pay because they're doing terrestrial radio and all that stuff. But each pledge drive, they want $100,000. They want something approaching $500,000 a year. On the other hand, for nearly 5 years, we have done this on the last frayed thread of an already compromised shoestring. $2,000 a month. That's it. Some months, very few, we make it all the way to $2,000. Most months we don't. And as of tonight, the 26th of January, 2010, it ain't looking good. But if I tell you, and you have the ability, maybe you can respond and help us get closer to $2,000 than we otherwise would be. And it would be marvelous and magnificent if you could. So, like I said, there's a contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com. And behind that tab, there is a PayPal button and the snail mail address. Use as you choose to see fit. And a reminder, for contributions in excess of $75, we will send along a copy of our dear friend Diane's magnificent, handmade, signed, numbered print for the love of West Virginia. It will look dandy on your wall. It's a beautiful thing Diane has done for us. 25 minutes before the hour, and we will go to the phones. 877-443-2366 is the number. 877, the numeral 4, head on. Or 304-658-3333 on your nickel. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yes.
Yes.
Why, is this Mr. Kincaid?
It is.
This would be Mr. James.
Is this the Mr. James?
Yes. Well, I don't know about the, but...
My God, it's Guy James.
Yes. That's who it is, all right. You guessed it. How did you guess?
Well, you know, it took me a minute, Guy, but it's that rich, resonant, sonorous voice. You cannot hide your light under a bushel.
I love your West Virginia colloquialisms that you come up with. They're so good. You've got a bushel of them. You know, Bob, tomorrow night about this time we'll be in D.C. and...
Well, you know, it's January. We could go looking for a Hindu Indian restaurant that serves beef.
Ah, yes.
Be rather of an anniversary of sorts.
Yes, it is. It is. And I spoke to some of the folks there today in D.C., and they said yesterday it was 70, and Friday we should be in the 20s with some snow possible. So I don't know how you're packed for clothing. I haven't decided yet. It's 80 degrees here. Do I put on a coat and wear it on the airplane, or... it's decisions.
That almost qualifies, Guy, as taunting. The cold has already gotten here, but the brutal freezing stuff hasn't yet. So I guess I'm lucky. I'm driving. You're flying, so I've got.
Well, wait a minute. Let me turn the air conditioner up just a little bit.
Oh, okay.
Here.
You do that.
A couple of more degrees.
But see, that's the nice thing. When you're rooming with me, you don't have to worry about the air conditioning ever being too cold.
Oh, I love it. I do love it. You know, folks, the first time that Bob and I ever were roomies together, he said it was a little toasty in the room for me. And Bob, I had never roomed with Bob before.
You never met Bob before.
I never met Bob before, and that's true. And he said something about turning the air conditioner, and I thought he meant that he thought it was too cold in the room. And oh, was I happy when I discovered it. He said you couldn't get it too cold in the room. And I thought, yes, my kind of guy.
Exactly. And by the way, you're being advised in the chat room, Guy, to wear flip-flops to the airport.
I have some. I wear my flip-flops to go out and get the mail here. That's as far as I go with them. You know, when you got these size 14 flip-flops, they hear you.
Yeah, them some dogs.
Yeah, you know. So.
And they had, oh, yep, and there she, and she's done it. ELO has just posted the Fogo de Chao photo. It's not the one on Pennsylvania Avenue, but the Fogo de Chao photo in the chat room with the caption, Horn Field Office.
Well, that, there's something to that. And if anybody wants to help out, you know, I don't know if Bob told you or not the last time we were there, they had some, what was it, Bob, bourbon or what was it, $495 for a shot of it.
Yeah, and Bob didn't drink any of that bourbon.
No.
No, it was cognac, actually. It was cognac.
Cognac.
They let me sniff the lid.
Okay. I wasn't sure. At $4.95, I wouldn't have let you. I thought, you know, I'm enough of a country boy. When he said $4.95, I thought $4.95.
Well, hell, I'll have a beer, too, on the back.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was pretty stiff for a shot of cognac, $4.95.
Daggum buck, are you?
Yeah, well.
But it, yeah, no, that's $4.95 before you get to put the decimal point down.
Yeah, I know. I've got caught like that before. I was going to buy a belt in this fancy department store one time. It was $30, and I thought and thought and thought about it. Do I want to spend $30 on a belt? I don't know. Finally, I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I got up the counter, and it seems I was off by one decimal point as well. And the guy said it was $300.
No, that's okay. And you just waddled on out of the store with your pants still around your ankles, didn't you?
Well, I was in the wrong store for that. I was in Dallas in the Neiman Marcus store, and I should have known.
Oh, gee whiz, you can't buy a bag of popcorn for $30 in needless markup.
No, I didn't know that. I knew that name was familiar. I knew it was famous for something, and then I realized that. Country bumpkin. That would be me.
Well, no, you're down. You know, you are urbane and sophisticated compared to the likes of me.
Yes, that's true. That is true. For those of you that have never been to Beckley, it is a quaint place.
With oddly enough, traffic congested traffic to rival the biggest traffic nightmares in the country. You can get stuck L.A. style in traffic in Beckley, West Virginia. You really, really can.
Well, we've been getting stuck L.A. style here in Fort Myers area right now. All the snowbirds are here. They brought all their flu with them.
Oh, they brought their flu?
Yes, we've all been good and sick, and, you know, just about everybody has been. So lots of snowbirds here this year, but they're not spending any money.
Oh, well, no, they spent all their money bringing their flu there.
Yeah, that's right, flu shots and all that. Well, Bob, tomorrow evening, we'll have dinner someplace. We'll have to do something.
Well, you know, now, wait a minute.
Yeah?
It's the evening before, you know, you never know. You never know if there may be some event where the best friend that labor ever had might get brought out to talk to, you know, you bloggers.
You bloggers. Mm-hmm.
You remember that.
He's your friend, not mine. You're the one that has your picture with him.
You took it.
I took it under duress. I had no choice.
Well, I don't care whose dress you were under. You took it.
There you go. When you're standing there with your overpowering presence and in the presence of, well,
the best friend that labor ever had, Ed Schultz.
The best friend. What could I do? I had to snap a shot of that. I had to.
Well, you know, and you know what? That's a pretty big list that he's climbed atop. I mean, Samuel Gompers, best friend that labor ever had.
Yeah.
John L. Lewis, best friend that labor ever had? No,
they
not
were
so
all
much.
Right, but they didn't have big time TV shows.
No, no, they weren't Big Ed. And of course,
how bitter do we sound?
Well, we're not sounding bitter. I'm just to the point where I outright wouldn't pee on him if he was on fire after the tawdry, sleazy way that he treated Mike Malloy on his TV program. And I frankly do not believe for a minute that he turned to Robert Gibbs, White House spokesman, and told him that he was full of shit. I don't believe it. I don't think Ed's got that kind of guts.
No, he doesn't, but he'll tell you he does. Were you there the night that he came walking into the, what's the name of that fancy hotel we were staying at? I can't remember.
The Omni Shoreham?
Omni Shoreham, yeah. And he came marching in there and said, "We have to go take a look at the Radio Row because I'm not sure that I can do Radio Row with the rest of these people because of my overpowering presence and my voice will drown them all out." And I don't
like to broadcast with the hoi polloi.
No. And he only did for one day of the event and left after they had treated him royally. Flew him into town. Did the best for him, and he left. He just didn't want to be with the common folk, like we horn people.
Yes, but you know what? We'll be there. The horn will be there. There won't be any Ed Schultz there, and there won't be any Air America banner hanging there either.
No, there won't. There will not.
Now we sometimes see Tom Hartman at these events. I don't know if he's showing up for this one or not.
Tom has been at this one, before. I can't remember if he was there. I know at one of them, one of these South America deals, he had a book signing upstairs there at the Mayflower, and we had a nice long chat. I don't know whether he'll be there or not. I don't know what the guest list is, but I do know the horn will be represented. And where radio comes in, that's all that matters.
Well, you know, Guy, that's the thing. The horn is the future.
Yeah.
We're bringing the, you know, maybe that's a new slogan. The horn, bringing the future of liberal media to the present.
Well, somebody has to. May as well be us.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's going to be a blast. It is going to be an absolute blast. And I'm not blowing smoke when I say that. I'm looking forward to getting to hang out with you for a couple of days. And you know, it's a pity that you have to turn around and fly back down to the Snowbirdville, because on Saturday morning I'm going to get up and I'm going to drive up to talk. You know, I'm the crazy one. It's the dead of winter. I'm driving north. You're going south. Who's sane? Yeah, not me. But I'm going to get up Saturday morning and I'm going to drive north to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, because there is a big progressive conference going on there, and our colleague Rick Smith will be broadcasting.
Okay.
And Rick may even come down and hang with us a little bit, just to see how the remote rig works.
That would be good. Rick is one of the good guys.
He most assuredly is. Well, Guy James, I know that you'll miss Bess while you're gone. Please thank her for us for letting you come out and play. I feel like I'm 5 years old. Mrs. James, can Guy come out and play?
Well, Bob, it's going to be a pleasure, and we hope to bring an informative and entertaining program. We've got some great guests lined up. It should be interesting.
Oh, more than. Guy James, you have a wonderful evening, and get plenty of rest. Wear your Speedo and flip-flops to the airport so they won't be worried about you setting your underwear on fire. And fly on up, and I'm looking forward to seeing you.
See you late tomorrow afternoon.
All righty.
Come on, buddy.
Bye now.
Bye now.
The inimitable Guy James, calling live from the Fort Myers, Florida area. I can't say it enough. I've never worked a broadcast gig with Guy James that we didn't manage to have a hell of a lot of fun along the way. And you know, I don't mean like, you know, it's 2 o'clock in the morning, we're wearing lampshades. I love you, man. No, Guy James makes the work of broadcasting an absolute joy in and of itself. And that's a fact.
Email just rolled in. Email just rolled in from James. He said, I only get $674 a month, very fixed income, so can't afford a $75 contribution for the beautiful West Virginia picture. Sorry. These days are humble, especially the last 15 days every month where I give thanks for cheese sandwiches and that I'm not being drone bombed in Iraq and Afghanistan or living in Haiti. So please send me an address because I don't do PayPal or any online business. I've been hacked in the last decade. And by the way, F Mr. Schultz. I think that's kind of what Guy and I were getting at. Appreciate it, James. Really do. And the easy, well, that's what I said at the website, headonradionetwork.com. And if you click that contribute tab, the snail mail address is right there. And that snail mail address is 1038 North Eisenhower, just like the president, Drive. 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318 Beckley, B-E-C-K-L-E-Y, West Virginia, 25801. And thank you, James, especially under the circumstances. And your circumstances are similar to that of so many people who keep this going despite the difficulty. And we will, it is never forgotten. And whenever we go anywhere or every time the stream lights up, it lights up because of people like you. All the good people who keep this going. And I can't push a button on this board without being filled with a profound sense of admiration, of respect, and deep and abiding gratitude. To the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Luke.
I tell you what, I heard you talking, and I thought I'd better call in tonight because I know you're going to be busy tomorrow night with the State of the Union. I figured.
Well, you know, Guy and I always find a way to be in Washington, D.C., not for the thing that's exactly happening in Washington, D.C., but the same night of it just so we can enjoy the complete snarl of it. We were there the night of the inauguration, and now we're going to be there tomorrow night for this, and it'll be zippy. I'll guarantee it.
No. But what I want to get into tonight is this whole thing with this I don't want to call it Watergate, the redo. Apparently now with this thing down in Louisiana.
Doesn't that just beat all?
I'm sitting there going, you know, first of all, if I'm an FBI agent or whoever's in charge of it, first thing I want to see is this guy, the one that did the Acorn video. I want to see his finances. I want to see who's funding him.
Oh, now, wouldn't that be nice?
I mean, now, what happened is last week you got a nice check from Roger Ailes. Now, I'm just curious. Should we go talk to Roger and ask Roger what was discussed at the meeting?
Yeah, because that would be kind of participation in a criminal conspiracy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, or maybe it came straight from maybe Sean or...
Hey, how about accessory before the fact?
Uh-huh. Or Rush. Ooh, it's going to be fun. But one thing is, I was noticing, okay, MSNBC's covered. They've covered it on all their shows. I've seen it. CNN, if you want to call it covering it, we talk about it for a minute. Oops, we got to go down here and talk to Anderson Cooper in Haiti. You know, it's like, when I get to where I can, I'm going to be writing some emails to CNN going, I want you all covering this the same way you covered Acorn. I want every hour on the hour, and I want you to find the furthest people to the left the way you found the furthest people to the right to come in and comment. When it was Acorn, I want you to get the people to the furthest to the left to come in and comment about this. You know, and I'm saying, I want it every hour. I want you all to talk about it the way you did Acorn. Even though you didn't know anything, even though all you had was just a piece of tape. It turns out now that apparently from what they were saying, that one of the other people, his father, is an acting attorney, I don't know if it's a state attorney general or U.S.
attorney. He is the acting U.S. attorney for the Western District of Louisiana.
Okay.
Yeah. Who will not be acting or U.S. attorney of any, no.
I wouldn't say much longer.
But Luke, there's a story there too.
Oh yeah.
I'd like to know. Is this some guy who's a holdover?
Is this guy a designee who has been refused a hearing by the Republican majority of 40 in the Senate? Is he Republican? Is he Democrat? What?
Well, the other thing gets to me is, okay, Mary Landrieu, she's up for election this year, right?
Yes.
I do believe. Fine. I'd like every, I'm sitting there going, you know, if I'm a Democrat senator up for election this year, I'm calling the FBI and telling them I want my offices swept.
Oh, yeah.
See if these guys have done it to anybody else. I mean, because who knows if they may have. This may not be the first one they've done. You know, and I'm sitting there going, you know, who's, you know, because we know they've done this before, you know, because we know the Republicans in Congress that time, you know, tapped into a computer system of the Democrats, and no one ever went to jail for that. But, hey, just because it was a federal crime, it didn't mean anything.
No, well.
But like you said, of course, if one of our guys had gone into a Republican's office and picked up a stick of gum, they'd have probably charged him with grand theft and had him in the orange jumpsuit. But like I say, it's just one of those things. It's like I say, tomorrow morning I'm gonna watch before I go to work. Try to catch all three of the morning shows, and they better be having some good long discussions on this. You know what I mean? Because I want them out there speculating in the exact same way they were speculating about Acorn. I want to know, you know, oh, yeah, is this Roger Ailes Waterloo?
Yeah, but you know what? They've already put, I don't know, maybe there will be more. I love that clip from Fox. Well, you know, this is a very complex case, and it probably needs a lot of context.
But you know what I mean? I want them to treat it just the same way they did when it was the Acorn story. Remember, they were talking about, you know, who in the White House was going to lose their jobs.
That's true.
You know, and so I want to know. I'm sitting there going, you know, whoever Fox News is going to be fired?
Who in the Republican National Committee is going to lose their job?
Oh, and yeah, I saw that they actually did finally cover that story, I think, to the thing about the phony census thing.
Well, yeah, they did, and there's kind of a backstory to that, too. On my way home last night, I had a conversation with Boss Man Wayne, who called to let me know that apparently he's now a member of the Republican Party.
Oh!
Because he got one.
He must have got on the wrong mailing list.
Yeah, and for those who are keeping score at home, what we're talking about is this phony census fraud email that the Republican Party is sending out. It looks like official U.S. government document, and it calls itself a 2010 census document.
And apparently it has an RNC, but you have to look like on the back of the envelope.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, it's all full of this because you've been a tireless activist in politics. Well, Wayne has certainly been that, but never as a Republican.
Not unless he's doing something in his sleep or something.
Yeah, maybe I missed something. I don't know.
But it's like it's one of those things. You're just sitting there going, you know, essentially this is fraud. I mean, if you're sitting there sending stuff out that you're claiming is from the Census Bureau. On its face, and it's apparently
a little Department of Justice investigation might not be a bad idea.
So, but like I say, tomorrow morning, if they don't cover it on each one of the talking head shows, I think you ought to say we ought to be on the email. I'm gonna check the post, and some of these others. If they don't cover it, just right, left, and center. This is gonna be fun to watch.
It should be a blast. Yeah, we're right up against it. Thank you, Luke. I appreciate it, and you have a good night, and we'll talk soon.
Bye.
Bye now. And thanks very kindly to those who have sent in contributions. Both of you, thank you very kindly. It is so much appreciated, as is everything we receive over the course of a month. And tomorrow morning, I'm off to Washington, D.C. So no show tomorrow. And then come Thursday, I'm live at noon, not 6 p.m., live at noon, and we'll replay the whole thing come 6 o'clock. Maybe we'll just start rerunning the thing as soon as it's over. But anyway, I hope you'll all join in from noon to 5, live from Washington, D.C., both Thursday and Friday. And I'll try to make sure that we get a live stream out of Rick's show on Saturday as well. So that's it, and we will talk soon. Thanks to everyone who makes all of this happen.
It is, it never ceases to be a humbling experience to be part of all of this. Thanks to Peter Godbold, to John Fox, to Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to our chat room moderators, ELO and Lottie. Thanks also to ELO, Sue, for what she does in the background and video stuff and, well, just sort of horned den mother as it is. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan, and our blogger, Texas Betsy. And again, thank you to all of you. And thanks go out to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy!
Should be a Monday night edition of Head On, but ain't. Because yesterday was Monday, this is Tuesday, and I am condemned to be hopelessly confused for the remainder of the week. Insofar as I was out playing hooky yesterday. No, not really hooky, but we'll talk about where I was in a minute. Tomorrow I'd get on the road headed for Washington, D.C. and the Families USA Conference, whereat there will be a joyous reunion with my broadcast colleague, Guy James, and we will bring you six rock-solid hours of conversation from that Families USA Conference, focusing primarily on the need for significant health care reform in the United States. And I think you will find it scintillating conversation at the very least. Now, a little advisory. Since most of the world
or most of the policy-making, policy-commenting, news-making world doesn't work between the hours of 6 p.m. and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. My show on Thursday and Friday will air at it will air at noon Eastern Standard Time, live from the Families USA Conference at the Hyatt Regency in Washington, D.C. So if you tune in at 6, what you'll get is a rerun. But if you tune in at noon, you will get 3 hours of me, followed by 2 hours of Guy James. So that would make 5 hours of radio instead of the 6 I just mentioned. But we all know what happens when I try to do mathematics on the fly on this program. Good things never come from it. So 5 hours of live conversation radio from the Families USA Conference beginning Thursday at noon. Tomorrow is a road day. And we'll be doing equipment checks and stuff like that, trying to make sure that there are no flies in the ointment come time for the mic to go hot. So that's the plan. And I really, really hope that you will join us Thursday and Friday. Now, where was Bob last night? Well, Bob had a very busy day. It was unprecedented, the day I had yesterday. It was historic, the day in which I participated yesterday. And it is all as a result of the hard work of a man whose voice you have heard on this program in the past. You remember a couple of months back when the governor of the state of West Virginia and the entire congressional delegation sat down for a collective hand-wringing session about how will we ever possibly manifest our undying devotion and deep-seated allegiance to King Cole. And, of course, the so-called environmental community, or what I like to think of as a human rights movement, was not included in that little meeting. I mean, we couldn't even sit in the corner and gnaw on a crust of old bread while sitting on our hands and saying nothing. I mean, we just weren't included. We didn't exist. We weren't important enough to be there. Well, that didn't sit too well with Bo Webb. Bo began demanding and was helped in his demand by the recent comments of Senator Robert C. Byrd saying West Virginians had doggone well better start having a dialogue about West Virginia's future before the coal runs out instead of after we've been left sticky, broken, confused by the coal companies as they flee the state with all our money and leave us, well, sticky, broken, confused. And Bo started asking for this meeting. And lo and behold, it happened. It came off. And Bo was kind enough to invite me to be a part of it. He was there. Judy Bonds, whom you have also heard on this program, was there. Leave no gulp of ginger peach tea undrunk. Thank you, dear. Agnes bringing me another hot cup. Anyway, Judy Bonds was there. I was there. Bo was there. Janet Keating from the Ohio Valley Environmental Coalition was there. Rory McElmoyle was there. Maria Ganeau was there. And most importantly, I would submit, Doctors Michael Hendricks of the West Virginia University School of Public Health was there. And Dr. Ben Stout, a biologist focusing on water safety and water quality, was there. Now, who was on the other side? Governor Joe Manchin was there. My congressman, Representative Nick Joe Rahal, was there. Congresswoman Shelley Moore Capito was there. Delegations and representatives of Senators Byrd and Rockefeller were there, as was a representative of a member of the staff of Representative Alan Mollahan. Thus, the entire congressional delegation, plus the governor, were there. Also in attendance, see, like I said,
When the first meeting was held, the so-called environmental community was not important enough to be there. But, bless his heart, Bo wanted the coal industry there. And so, from the West Virginia Coal Association, both Bill Rainey and Chris Hamilton were there. And Joe Carter from the United Mine Workers of America was there. There were various and sundry county commissioners and members of the West Virginia legislature. Notably, and this was noted, right after the event got started,